This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. Knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision, really. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
The choice now is, I get my ass kicked, or option B, I kick your ass and collect the $200. I'm going with option B, kicking your ass and collecting $200.
And you never know who else might stop by.
You sticking like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Now, Dan, I know you worked very hard on that opening, okay? But you got to let us know that the opening's running so these guys put on their headphones. I don't think any of them heard it.
I didn't hear it.
No.
I didn't hear it.
You know? So
and that was an awful cold ending to the music, isn't it?
Was that My Cousin Vinny?
Didn't I put it on the in the studio?
No,
you couldn't
no.
hear it through the speakers?
I want to learn those buttons that are in front of you.
Was that My Cousin Vinny?
Yes, it was.
He did a nice opening to My Cousin Vinny.
A new one or the one I've heard a million
one
times?
One of Paul's favorite shows.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Marissa Tomei.
Excellent. Excellent. Marissa Tomei is excellent in that
movie.
Yeah,
and we didn't hear it because you didn't tell us you were running it.
I'll play it Thursday.
All right.
She won the Oscar for
today is Thursday.
Maybe you can play it at the top of the hour.
I'll play it Tuesday.
Play
I won't be here,
o'clock.
Thank God.
See you next Tuesday.
At the 1 o'clock break, you can play it again.
Okay, I could do that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, the gang's all here, except, well, no, Tom's here. Where'd he go?
I don't know.
He just disappeared.
He ate his sandwich and left.
All right, well, we're all here. Andy, Fred, Paul, Tom, Eric, Dan in the booth. Gary's still away in, what, St. Kitts? Where is he?
Hey, greasy hair in there. Is it true he has a double honeymoon, two different locales? Because he only told us about one. You don't know.
The kid didn't even get invited to the wedding.
I was going
to
say, you think he shared
the wrong person to ask.
Honeymoon details? He didn't even get invited.
I was told he only told us about St. Kitts. I was told there's like it's a two-stop
really
thing where St. Kitts is one of them and another one is some
Logan
he rented a something somewhere in some Caribbean locale. And
what is he getting all this money?
His wife, I think.
Oh, she comes from money?
And you give good gifts, I hear.
Me?
Whatever's in his wallet at
whatever's
the time.
Whatever's in my wallet at the time.
So if you had skipped Buff's Pub, he would have got a bigger wedding present.
That is true. Yeah, yeah.
Plus, he's 40 years old and he was single.
Right.
You could save up money that way.
I think he drank it.
Renee.
Based on his beer belly.
What's he, Irish?
Renee is our benefactor today.
Save that one, Renee.
She, I think she sent us lunch. And she says, hey, guys, hope lunch gets there okay. I can't call in because I had my wisdom teeth out yesterday. I picked a good day to be home. At least I get to see the parade. Too bad it's not for the Pats. I think the Patriots will go 14-2 this season. What do you think? And that's from Renee, who sent us lunch today. So thank you very much. A lovely spread from D'Angelo's.
Renee's got a lovely spread.
You know, see now, that's just wrong. It's just wrong.
By the way, Fred, your Patriots really screwed things up by not winning the Super Bowl.
I know. It would have been something else, huh? But we've shown other teams in this region how to do it. So
yeah, and they've been doing it since.
It's good.
The Patriots are they going to add the Patriots? You know how they have some stuff in the pro shop and that's been around with Patriots and Red Sox? Are they going to add the Celtics to that?
What do you mean?
They have some. Yeah, pins and
yeah, but that was the year that we both won it the same year. It was City.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. So the Red Sox and Celtics will do it.
Right. They could do it.
What?
Well, in the year that we did it, the Celtics couldn't.
I don't remember back then.
Did you laugh
far.
About them?
No, they
or
were...
is it just the Patriots that you wish ill on?
No, it was this that I
Fred,
wanted.
Fred, I think you have it. Right. I think you have it just right. It's just the Patriots that he wishes ill on.
Right.
It's really
I don't
sad.
Wish ill on anyone.
It's sad.
Right. You know what it is? It's not so much even that he wants ill, bad things to happen to the Patriots. He wants those who like the Patriots to feel bad.
I
that
think
is
you're
not
right.
Accurate.
I think you're
just,
right about
that. He just likes seeing people suffer.
Well,
he likes seeing
now
people
you might
be
onto something.
I think you're right about it.
No,
look at him,
honestly.
Because all of a sudden his whole like facial expression changed.
I never wish ill
on
many people. There's very few people that I actually wish ill upon. But for some reason I take a perverse joy of watching others deal with ill.
Yeah.
It's called Schadenfreude.
That's it.
That's what it's called, Andy.
I just
you
hate
suffer
you.
From Schadenfreude.
The hell is Schadenfreude?
Eric had a
taking
you know,
delight
German
in the
and there's a big dichotomy too with the.
But is there a difference between like hoping for it and projecting it, or just taking the delight after it happens? Because I don't ever wish it to happen. Very very few people that I Tiger Woods would be one, and I hope bad things happen too. But
Andy still thinks
that,
Tiger Woods was faking.
Right,
by the way,
right.
Pansy.
Just,
as
I said to him this morning,
Drama
I would have more respect for him, and I'd leave him alone if he just said, "Okay, well, obviously, he was hurt.
Yeah, he's going down with his ship."
As he often does.
No, you really do like seeing other people suffer.
Right. Andy wishes ill on the Patriots fans, whereas Tom openly campaigns for them for their affection.
Right.
So it's like a real dichotomy between – it's no surprise that right. Tom finished first and Andy finished, second to last, but with an asterisk.
Which is last.
Eric was last. I mean
– I don't get death threats from people like Eric does.
It's true. He did. Well, yeah. No
Fred,
one from Ireland.
Fred, no
has
one
ever
cared about me and you,
life?
So we just fell in that abyss in the middle.
There was
right?
a guy in the South End who threatened to put me in a trunk on L Street or something.
Well, there you go.
That could happen, too. Let me tell you something.
All right.
You see Gone
Dan,
Baby Gone?
Mm-hmm. Dan, we got to have this door open. I'm already hot.
Oh, I asked Chris Wheeler about it, and he contacted whoever would fix it, but the guy was on vacation.
What'd you get there, Mini Gary?
Chicken stir fry.
Oh. Mini Gary got
no surprise, he gets what my wife usually gets.
Oh, see now.
It is what it is.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Here's Tom. What happened to you, Tom? Where'd you go?
I got an important phone call.
Okay. All right.
He's got an offer. He can't refuse.
It's okay. Tom's back, so we're all here. We even got cookies from D'Angelo.
Can't leave now. We get snacks.
Yeah. What else is going on, guys? I know Bill Belichick was in the front row of the Celtics win Tuesday night. And I guess that
got one-upped. Remember how we were joking Lawrence Maroney got bumped out of the good seats when stars arrived? Well, apparently Steven Tyler is higher on the star meter than Bill Belichick.
Oh.
Because Bill got bumped to the baseline.
What's wrong with the – I thought that was – oh, you mean the end of – yeah, okay.
The baseline.
Because he was next to the bench, right?
Yes, and now this time it was Steven Tyler and his girlfriend were in those seats.
Wow.
So there's a hierarchy of those seats. And when
so Steven Tyler's out of rehab, huh? Because he was in rehab.
Yeah, well, there was some different reports about that, too. He says it was for his foot. It wasn't like a drug rehab.
Oh, really?
It was for his foot. I don't know.
Why was he in Betty Ford?
I don't know if that's
yeah,
true.
Right.
What does she know about feet?
Right.
I don't know if that was true or not. But
so
supposedly he was, 23 years sober?
Clean.
They
yeah,
do
clean
inject heroin between your toes, don't they?
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's where some people do it, yeah.
That's how Christopher did it on The Sopranos.
Yeah. All right.
Andy's lost.
Well, as we speak, the Patriots are in the middle of their rolling
record.
Rally
9 minutes
in Boston.
Into the show, we
Celtics.
The Celtics. What did I say?
Patriots.
No parade for them.
Yeah. The Celtics are in their rolling rally in the streets of Boston, and it looks like a decent crowd. Not as big as the Patriots.
This is my personal favorite time of any year is when Fred completely tries to diminish any other team's accomplishments.
We
already did the Giants earlier this week.
You
now we're on to the Celtics.
I think it's easy.
You
to
remember that far back?
I think it's easy to see by just looking that it's not quite the turn.
What, at a snapshot of a 100-foot piece of fence?
I've seen some overhead views.
Rolling.
First of all, I don't believe any of the numbers. My guess is they're going to say, in the neighborhood of a million people went to Boston
1.2
today.
1.2 million,
they'll
say.
I think part of it is that fans are a little bit,
spoiled?
Spoiled.
Because the Celtics won,
I agree with that.
The corner 22 years ago.
But I also think that they're doing it a little differently than they did it for the Red Sox and for the Patriots in that they're not stopping anywhere.
Right.
They're just going.
Yeah.
So there's no real place to congregate, and I'm not sure that makes it it's obvious, you know, like Andy said, they just estimate anyway. I mean, how do they really know how many people are there? Yes. It makes it even harder to do that now.
But those Andaman dudes lucked out, huh?
Yeah.
They got that stupid beach thing.
Let me tell you something.
I mean, people that are taking work off today to go to the parade, why wouldn't you just go over
there?
You would
really like that, by the way. I have been there
for that. I don't really like sand. I'm not big on they filled the city hall with sand.
I don't like sand. There's all sand. There's every kind of food that you could imagine. That's what I thought you would like about.
Yeah, but I'd have to walk in sand.
Oh, for God's sake.
Weren't you drilling oil at the beach?
Yes, he was, Smitty Gary, and he also
good
loves
point.
The
just
beach.
Just so you know, Gary. I love boobs more than I hate sand, so to go see boobs, I'll deal with some sand.
Just go on the internet.
It's true.
All right. Webradiopatriots.com. Do we have any Patriots news?
No.
No. Nothing.
Spector. Arlen Spector gave up his pursuit of congressional hearings because everybody and their brother told him, give up your pursuit of congressional hearings.
You now he's going after publicly funded stadiums.
So now we know that it's Comcast-driven, obviously, since he's going after the NFL for something else.
Yeah, we talked about that on Tuesday because Tom
the Patriots
made that
are
comment
safe.
On Tuesday.
No public financing here, right?
That's right. Even in the thing that Spector submitted to Congress, it listed all the publicly funded stadiums, and Patriots had that goose egg right there.
Why does he care about that?
Because the NFL has given all these perks and antitrust exemptions, and
but public funding is based locally. Those local governments
local
decide.
You're absolutely right.
Do I want this team? Do I want to work with this team, or do I not?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, that was the thing when Finneran was poo-pooing the everything here.
You could make the argument though that some teams twist the arms of these local governments and.
Unlike politicians.
Fred,
how much money does the NFL, with jobs and just in society in general, how much does the NFL help the world?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to determine that, but it comes up to the sniff test. Is a region better when it has an NFL team than without it? Of course they are. It's a part of the culture. I mean,
wait a minute.
Is a region better?
That doesn't seem like a cut and dry argument to me.
It is. Is a region better with a symphony hall and a symphony than without it? Of course it is. Are they better with an art museum than without it? Of course they are. All this adds to the culture, and maybe not everyone likes everything, but if there's something for everyone, that makes it a better place to live.
Are they better off with strip clubs everywhere?
In some areas, it is. Not everywhere.
You said something for everyone.
But if you're zoned for it in a certain area, yeah, it does help.
I just liked the phrase. Is a region better off with an NFL team? Of course they are.
Of course they are.
How do you measure that?
Because they're better. If the more things you have to offer your citizens, the better it is a place to live.
You think in Nebraska, where they don't have an NFL team, do they hate life or do they just
love that's why people congregate to the cities.
College football's
running. No, I know. That's my point. I think they've gotten along fine with Nebraska football.
No, but I think to Fred's point, would Green Bay, Wisconsin be worth living in now? Would it be better living in there now with a football team than without it?
Why do you think all the best jobs are in places in big cities?
Because generally the NFL teams are in big cities. What came first, a chicken or the egg? It's not a big city because there's an NFL team there. There's an NFL team there because it's a big city.
But
how do you explain Green Bay, Wisconsin then?
Big cities are such because they have vibrant economies. They have a lot to offer. Education, schooling, churches. They have a lot to offer, a lot of diversity.
So L.A. is going down the crapper right now because they don't have an NFL team.
They have a lot of other things to make up for it.
He's got you there.
But they clearly weren't better off with an NFL team because all the NFL teams left.
Would it be that much better if it had one? Of course it would.
I just meant for the economy, but...
Of course it would. That's the part I like. Of course it would. Of course it would.
I got that... who's that guy, the Andrew Zimbel or Zimbist or whatever? Who's
Andrew Zimbel is from Smith College.
He does all the research. Fred just goes, of course it would.
So... I mean, what, do you disagree?
I don't really care. I just don't think it's one of those issues where you can just say matter-of-factly. Like, I can say the Patriots are better off with Tom Brady. That's a fact.
New England in general, in the world.
So New England, I agree with it.
New England's not better off with the Patriots?
The whole region?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have an opinion.
I have to admit, Fred.
For me, yes.
I don't know if you can make the argument for the whole of New England.
Well,
but certainly
Providence,
certainly
Southern New Hampshire,
Boston, and Boston is better off because of the Patriots being here. Yes, I would
absolutely
agree with you.
Certainly Foxborough is.
Built more than the fire department.
Right.
They got nothing if the Pats blow out of town.
Well, there is an economic you know, value of having professional
sports. Put your shirt on, for Christ's sakes.
That's why does Glenn Davis have his shirt off in this parade? What?
They should have to blur out his nipples because those are breasts.
My God. He needs a bro.
Oh, it's a man's ear, Fred.
Man's ear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We didn't go with the bro?
I just like average players who try to steal the show. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, I kind of like it, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in two years, he could be working at Wendy's.
Put your shirt on. Well, I don't care if
shirt,
you
act, yeah, the shirt
I don't care
like.
If you act crazy and everything, but put your shirt on.
I agree with the shirt thing.
That's one of the things that really annoys me.
With people taking their shirt off?
Yeah. Like, I'm sure there's a bunch of guys in the crowd that just walk around with no shirts on. Yeah. But just, no, I can't say the word I would normally say, but.
Why not?
Look at that douchebag.
I can't.
Well, leave it to strippers to help us out. Aerosmith frontman Steven Tyler, 60 years old, did you realize that?
Yeah.
Has checked himself into Las Encinas Hospital Drug Rehab
it
Clinic.
It is drug. Yeah.
The place Dr. Drew practices in Pasadena, California.
Yes.
It's the same facility where the reality show Celebrity Rehab was filmed.
Great show.
Tyler is getting treatment for substance abuse.
Okay. Leave it to strippers
and,
to get
and
right
for
to
those
the bottom
of you
of
that like quality TV, the next year's Celebrity Rehab is going to have Gary Busey on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a mess.
Oh, God. That's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Is that the guy, who hugged Jennifer Garner at the Oscars and got her all flustered out on the red carpet?
I don't remember, but if it... You know
is that
Gary,
the guy?
You know
made
Gary
the,
Busey?
Made the big
yes,
incident?
He did. He
that
did.
Was him, right?
Didn't you used to watch Entourage?
I don't have HBO, so I don't have...
How do you know what this
he had a head injury.
Have you ever watched a movie?
DVDs.
Point Break?
What did you do before DVDs? VHS? You just don't go to the theater?
I do go to the theater. He's asking me about Entourage. That's on HBO.
Oh. You don't go to the movies, though?
Yes, I do. We're talking about HBO programming, not movies.
This movie's on HBO.
We're talking about Entourage.
That's not a movie.
That's my point.
First base. Third base, whatever. My bad.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea. Nothing of any importance through 20 minutes.
I had
of show.
A point to make, but I forgot what it was. Oh. Speaking of
Baghdad would be better off with an NFL team.
It sounds like the Dirty got some type of exclusive interview with Javon Walker.
Yep. Yeah,
and he gave some type of explanation about what the heck's going on.
And
with
I don't
him.
Buy it for a second. Neither does anyone, any other intelligent human being.
And it's not even. Remember we used to make fun of A.J. Nicholson? Is that his name?
Yeah.
At least his stories that were stupid and unbelievable were somewhat plausible, though. Like, am I to believe you opened the door and shockingly there were these goons, dragged you out, beat you down?
All right, you found me. Give me the beatdown.
At 5 in the morning.
I mean, if you're going to make up a story, have some belief. Like Eric's girlfriend's story. There were some believable aspects to that story. Right, Eric?
Eric's looking at a picture of Gary Busey right now.
And ignoring our
fondly,
discussion of his girlfriend.
I might say.
Longingly. Lustfully.
I really can't believe you didn't know who Gary Busey was.
Just I can't either.
For sure.
No, I,
and
wanted
I
to
know
you
nobody.
Don't
I
knew even
who,
belong in
no,
the
no,
conversation.
No, no, no. I know who he is. That's why I'm saying. It's
I
shocking.
Knew who Gary Busey
Gary
was.
Busey.
I wanted to make sure he was the one who actually did the Jennifer Garner.
He
thing.
Got in the motorcycle accident.
I couldn't remember if that
cracked
was him
his
or
skull.
Not. Yeah, no, I know who he is. I just couldn't remember if he was the Jennifer Garner one.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. The Celtics are going past, it looks like, Copley Square right now.
I just wanted to mention that you mentioned Javon Walker. Ray Allen, there's a guy who's a true professional, finding out his two-year-old son has diabetes. I mean, it's bad enough when a kid that age has it, but to be diagnosed during the playoffs and be able to come back and still help your team win. You always hear about the guys like Pac-Man Jones and Javon Walker, but that's a guy who's a real professional.
I like how you, overnight, you found out that his kid has diabetes. You'll have a Ray Allen jersey on.
Well,
I've loved Allen for years.
No, that's true, but I'm just saying it.
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
It must be hard for a father to get that news.
Who was that loser on the Red Sox for like two starts that you liked?
Jason Johnson.
I think when, in all seriousness.
The guy could be an axe murderer, but if he has diabetes, he's okay.
He's okay with Tom.
I think professional, and it doesn't matter if they're really athletes or anybody who's a professional, I think. You know, when those things happen in your life, I think sometimes your work can be that type of release.
Mm-hmm.
And when those things happen, you kind of focus a little bit more because you compartmentalize and you use that time while you're working as an escape. And I think a lot of athletes have done that in the past, whether it's deaths in the family or things like that.
My point, Andy, was that we spend so much time talking about the scumbags that, you know, every now and then you hear a good story like that.
Right. Well, okay. So congratulations to the Celtics for their 17th World Championship.
By the way, I would like a Jay Cutler jersey because he has diabetes. And you guys got Andy a Rashard Mendenhall jersey.
I don't have it yet.
I don't want that sent to Andy.
I beat cancer. Come on.
That's true.
And I have diabetes. Get me a Jay Cutler jersey. You got Andy one in 24 hours, which is by far the most amazing thing that's ever happened in my lifetime.
I mean, anyone can quit using dip, but it takes a man to face cancer.
Right.
You know?
I don't even know what that means.
I'm just trying to get a free jersey out of this.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Fred, but if I get it, I'm going to wear it to your cookout.
Impossible today. He's kept me quiet. I have no idea what he's talking
about.
But by
the way,
Andy,
the PFW in Progress website, Andy and I will be competing in the Fantasy Football League. And if you buy me a Cutler jersey, I'm going to take him number one, and Andy's taking Mendenhall number one.
Yep. Mini Gary, it's been brought to my attention that you wish to participate in this league.
And somebody doesn't
kind of
watch
him down.
Somebody was all pissed that I wanted to be a part of it.
Well, you can be in the league if you want to be. You go under my name.
Is this the PFWinProgress.com league?
It's funny because Mini Gary's on there fighting with somebody back and forth on the message board.
Right at this moment?
Apparently the guy claimed he was 20, but James from Wales told me that he's actually like 40 years old.
You're fighting with some 40-year-old dude?
Yeah.
Nice job.
How does James from Wales know how old he is?
Because he runs the site.
What, does he ask for ages before people log on?
There must be some kind of things that you have to do to log in.
Well, maybe he's a member of the UK Patriots fan
club,
and so he knows him personally.
But it was funny, though.
One of my Northeastern guys is in that club, you know.
Really?
Yeah. He was in Richmond.
So he's a two-time loser.
The guy wrote in and said that
I didn't say that.
Mini Gary should team up with Eric, and they can call their team the Receivers.
By the way,
nothing from you, Eric?
At all. No. Just gonna... I already heard the joke earlier.
You still dating that girl?
Stop, Tom.
I'm just asking yes or no.
I'm not talking
about
it.
She dumped you?
I'm not talking. No, I'm not talking about it. Not talking about it.
Tom, I told you it didn't end well. It didn't end well.
It didn't end well.
This went from a guy who was standing on top of a building singing about how much in love he was to...
I didn't have a mountain. I had a radio show.
That's why I'm not talking about it, Tom. Okay. I said too much the first time.
I just wondered if you were still together. I'm not busting your balls.
But at what point during that first show did you think any of that was a good idea? What happened there?
My judgment was clouded.
Because this is the normal you I would expect.
My judgment was clouded.
But you were like 5 minutes in saying, yeah, I might marry her. And we're.
But we do have a lot of emails regarding Eric's predicament.
Well, that's too bad.
And we will talk about them later.
What's his predicament?
Well, just the whole idea.
I think Andy
the situation he's in and now not wanting to talk about
being on the rebound.
I think Andy's right, though, Fred. I think he went on vacation. This girl found someone her age to hang out with, you know. And
by her age,
I mean plus
her
or minus a decade.
Her generation.
And
girls only want boyfriends.
They hung out.
Skills.
They had fun. They got home. Eric wanted to get married and scared the hell right out of her.
I guess I did.
What would you do?
See, Eric, I wouldn't be doing this if you had just answered my question.
Right. You leave us to speculate, which is dangerous.
See, that's what got the Patriots in trouble.
Fred?
He misinterpreted
the words
question.
Right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't feel very good.
I thought it was when they broke a rule.
You come out with the facts, and it goes away.
Well, we have someone on the line that's going to get to the bottom of Eric's plug.
Cali Girl's on the line. Hey, Cali Girl.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you been?
We're doing good.
Yeah, Tom, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
He's
still ugly.
You sound a lot better.
Thank you.
Do you notice he was talking somewhat normally, and then Cali Girl got on the phone and was like, yeah, good thanks.
He's milking it.
Yeah, he went from in and out. He went from Marlon Brando, and now he's just the second guy, Al Pacino.
It's getting better. Second guy.
Yeah, so guess what? I might be coming to a game.
Nice. What game?
San Diego?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to San Diego, but no, going out there for a game.
Oh, Fred will give you the tour.
Fred will give you the nickel tour.
Yeah, the tour.
Well, you got to buy us lunch first.
Oh, I got to buy you lunch just to get a tour?
Yeah.
Like, what if I'm just there? Like, I'm so cool.
Yeah, a lot of people are here.
68,000
like
of them.
Yeah.
Fred only gives special tours to special people, and by special it means by lunch.
Oh, okay.
So when are you coming out here? Chelsea?
Probably an early game, so it's not too cold.
I would go to that Chiefs game because I think if you want to see a show that's pro-Patriots, that'll be the day.
Chiefs game?
That's the opener.
Well, you don't think they'll win any other games?
No, but I think in terms of a cakewalk, that is it.
If you're looking for a Celtics performance like Tuesday night,
right.
The Chiefs opener.
If you want to just be drinking, high-fiving.
I'm going to say the Dolphins one isn't going to be too much of a problem.
Charles, what was the reaction out in L.A.? For the Celtics and Lakers?
It was actually, I played a prank at work and I got written up. It was kind of funny.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
You got written up? What, do you live in a dorm?
You want detention now?
No, well, I got, like, written up to HR. But, no, I wrote, like, Go Boston on some people's cars and they didn't like it very much.
What'd you write it in?
What'd you do with spray paint? You could also get arrested.
No. It was window paint. It was, like, so funny, but they didn't like it. And then they were really mad when they got blown out. So, yeah, everyone was pretty much gone the next day.
Wait, isn't that outside the building? You got written up for that? How's that work? That doesn't sound like that should have been included.
Well, if it's on property, you know, in the parking lot.
But I also wanted to tell James that the website is amazing. It's so cool.
It is. I saw that you started a thread on there trying to put together PFW meet and greet barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you saw that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of did
Fred
meet
was
somebody on there, actually.
You what?
Yeah.
What? You met someone?
I bet you guys could never guess.
What the hell
what are you
is
talking
going on
about?
Here?
You made a love connection on PFWinProgress.com?
Have you been drinking?
Mini Gary?
It's Eric.
Eric?
PFW After Dark with Kelly.
No, not Eric.
Who'd you hook up with?
It's funny to say it out loud.
Craig from South Carolina?
No.
Larry the Drunk?
He lives in New Hampshire.
Strippers?
Wait a minute.
Strippers, we got to talk to you.
That's not
going on here?
You are one hell of a slut. Listen to me, Cali girl. You're getting in over your head now. This is a whole different league if you get
We might go to the game together.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, boy.
So you haven't actually, you've just talked with him online, right?
Yeah.
I thought you were already spoken for.
What?
I thought you were already had a guy in your life.
Yeah, it was Tom.
No, I tell you one thing, stripper. She's used to the brothers, so you better be packing heat, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that accurate?
Aren't you the one that said my boyfriend looks like Roosevelt Colvin?
Well, he didn't see him that closely.
Yeah, I didn't
I was
see
say,
him.
I never saw I don't know what your boyfriend is.
No, not. Oh, goodness.
Hey, young lady.
Are these back when you were sharing those personal emails with Tom?
Personal?
I know some things.
Hey, young lady. What's your name?
Well, that's interesting.
Apparently, she's more personal than strippers.
So now PFW in Progress has set a new standard. Now we're actually hooking people up.
Yes.
Wow, we got a dating service?
Hey, James is unbelievable.
It's like MySpace. I swear. It's really cool.
Yeah.
We're bringing people together, Fred.
Bringing people together.
And getting
together.
Me and Andy jerseys.
We should start a classified
did he get it
session.
Yet?
I have not received it yet.
Oh.
But I'm hoping.
I put in my little bit for you.
Well, thank you. I'm
sure,
looking forward
no problem.
To I'm going to wear it to Fred's
Andy,
barbecue.
I was going to put in a dollar, but they sold it so quickly, I didn't have a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to wear it to Fred's house.
I feel uncomfortable about that.
I think
why?
You can wear it to the game.
Collecting money on our behalf online. I don't like it.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can wear it to a game. Or a press conference.
I would hope not.
That's what they want me to do, you know.
Why do you feel bad, Fred? What's
training camp.
It's just not, I don't know if it, I think it borders on being unethical.
Yeah, you're right. The $800 lunches we get
right.
every day, it's
believe
the
that.
Guy who came in with barrels of food.
I feel a little uncomfortable. I mean,
you don't
know,
feel bad when you're
Fred,
eating.
It's just a fun thing.
Do we need to, like, establish ourselves as, like, a charity? Like, you know how PBS, they collect money.
Yeah, I don't think we would qualify.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, what if you make a charity?
Yeah, we're a 501c.
Although maybe Eric could register as a charity.
For women.
We bring joy into these people's lives. They're just trying to thank us.
And you don't bring any money into our lives, so they're trying to help us out.
That's the problem, Andy. He doesn't want us to be successful. He wants us under his thumb.
Right.
For
it's
the
like
rest
Cinderella.
Of his life.
Maybe if it was a jersey for him, he may be.
Yeah, if it was a Wes Welker jersey in quadruple XL, he'd have it on right now.
Now the XL would fit him.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, Callie. All right, well, Callie girl.
Have a good day, guys.
Okay. Tell strippers we said hi.
That's Callie girl checking
maybe he'll
in.
Tell you.
Well, this is big news. And James, wow. I'm sure you're listening, and we'll definitely have to in your
Callie girl gets around
recap of the show
coast to coast.
Make sure you note that for the first time we found out about two listeners. You know,
hooking up,
maybe perhaps getting more acquainted.
Strippers, you're such a scumbag. You're almost becoming my idol. I mean, seriously, I love everything about the guy.
Now she knows if she, like, you know, hooks up with strippers, there'll be photos of it on the internet within 30 seconds.
That's maybe that's what she's looking for.
You know what strippers did? He found out.
I know what she's looking for.
She's trying to get on the dirty.
He found a hot girl. He weaseled his way in with some sweet talk, and now, you know, he's tapping it.
Not yet, but.
Well, she didn't really deny it, Fred.
It's virtual tapping.
Right, it's virtual. Yeah, they haven't actually even met each other yet.
Knowing strippers, I wouldn't doubt if he's flown out there already, to be honest with you.
To do the
way the way she said yeah when you said it's just been online sounded like, yeah, move on.
Okay. Very interesting.
See, Eric, this is what we do. We talk about relationships.
But I think it's funny that in strippers' 752 emails he sends a day, forgot to mention this part.
Hey, guys, by the way, you know Callie girl? I did.
All right. We got a lot of emails. Dan's still here. Dan doesn't play solitaire when he's in there. He pays attention.
He tries.
He actually enjoys the show.
Yeah, he likes the show.
He's working the board.
Especially now that the door's open, you can hear him laugh actually probably on the air.
That's the funniest part.
When he laughs at our nonsense.
Right.
And this is the highlight of his day because I'm not sure he does anything else. do you do anything else? What? Give me a specific task.
Whatever it is you do when you're not here.
From 2 to 5, what are you going to do today?
What are you going to do, Andy?
I'm going to work on the assistant coaches for the yearbook. You're I believe gym, I was on Dean Pease when we came down.
You were on? Really? That must have made me.
I didn't
Pease
see a say.
Get off the defensive coordinator. You're blowing the yearbook.
I didn't see you at your desk once.
This morning?
Yeah.
You asked what I was going to do this afternoon. Oh. I had something ready to go. I have the document
I hear
open.
A lot of chatter, but I'm not sure I...
Well, I was arguing with Ken
Flanders. I spent the last hour and a half in my office.
I was arguing with Ken Flanders because you can't buy a freaking Celtics baby clothes anywhere. Or Patriots much.
Well, what does he have to do with that?
He's in the industry. I thought he knew something about the industry, but all he wants to talk about is how he sold 12 garden gnomes that with a Patriots logo on them in the last month.
Flanders is the only useless person
now,
here.
We should mention, Fred, that we have to all go through a two-hour seminar because of Andy.
Tomorrow, a matter of respect, it's put on by our HR department.
Mine's on Wednesday.
Yours is on Wednesday. So groups of employees here at Gillette Stadium have to sit through these seminars and how to respect each other. Didn't we do this last year?
We did it with you, Fred, 2 years ago, and it took 10 minutes. You sat there, you're like, yeah,
and
you all know
the problem.
And now it's a two-hour.
No. We did something up in one of
the
streets where they had a
with
lawyer.
With a lawyer. Yeah.
I called him out because.
Yes, you started a fight with him.
Right. Well, this is. All right.
I missed that.
Literally, the guy got mad at Fred.
No, listeners, listen to this.
Was this the guy in the wheelchair?
No.
Fred was in the right, but the guy was pissed at him.
That was sensitivity training.
Sensitivity training.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo.
Sensitivity training. This guy is teaching us about how to be sensitive in the workplace. He goes, I travel all over the place. He goes, you know, one of the differences between, like, you know, here in like, Korea, for example, is everyone in Korea is the same, so they don't have to worry about this. And I'm like, what? You know, so there's no people with different religions. There's no gay people. There's no, you know, just because they have the same skin color doesn't mean they're all the same. You know, and he didn't like that.
It was a full-out fight. I mean, everyone was kind of... No, he was mad.
The guy
he was mad at you.
The guy teaching the sensitivity
said
they're all the same.
And, of course, everyone just wanted to get out of there, so no one said it. But then there's Fred's hand that raises. Wait a second. They're all the same.
And then they have to all start talking about the cheerleading calendar, how that's offensive.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I just find it insulting our intelligence that they have to tell us how to behave in a workplace. I mean, I can understand Andy
but
having
you know
a
what
one-on-one.
It is? It's cover your ass.
No, I know.
It's so that they can say, yeah, we did it.
Great.
That's
I'll sign the
is.
Papers.
Right.
That's
my
is.
Problem. Give me the handbook and make me sign that says I swear I read it.
So in the whole cover your ass mentality, let's say for argument's sake that, I don't know, hypothetically one person on this gets in trouble. I'll go with Andy as being the biggest.
I've never been in trouble.
Okay. Let's say he gets in trouble. So he can legitimately fall back on the fact, well, I was never trained that was wrong?
Oh, but let's
after
say,
the fact,
but let's say Andy does something and they go after the company. The company can now say, look, you know, we put him through training and he sat there and listened to this and they kind of washed their hands of Andy. And,
well, the last thing I was told,
and they fire you.
Don't worry, they got your back.
And we fire you, and then you can't come back to us and say that was a
wrongful termination.
A wrongful termination.
But my point is,
you never showed me the proper way to behave in the workplace, and I'm just an idiot.
Well, that's what I'm
which
asking
is what you.
If you don't have any, if you don't have any training for this, if you don't have a formal seminar, an employee can fall back on. Well, I was never formally trained about that.
I don't know how to act like a human being.
Exactly.
It might be a hard thing to...
It's like hysteria. I mean, this is like a real-life Seinfeld.
I understand.
Was that wrong?
Paul, I understand.
Should I have not have called you an F and A-hole? I mean, if I had known I was going to get fired if I did that, I would have never done that. Are you serious?
It could be, you know how things are today. It could be the simple thing of putting pictures of women in swimsuits up in your cubicle.
Need to be told that's wrong?
Some people do.
But why can't
I can legitimately say, well, that's wrongful that you asked me to take those down, which I would assume would be the first step, and I refused to and didn't realize there'd be any repercussions?
Right.
And I can fall back and say, well, if you had a seminar for this, then I would understand.
I hear what you're saying. It's ridiculous, but it's just an added defense that companies are doing to
protect
themselves.
It took me 35 minutes, but I'm in now.
Or Tom said, why can't we just get a handbook, sign whatever form we're supposed to sign, and be done
then
with
it's on me. I signed and said I read it. I know the rules.
You
of
got
it.
The paper right there.
Right.
You
know, and the company can wash their hands.
That's what they're doing. Aren't they handing out a handbook
for
this? Just give everybody a handbook and make them sign that they read it.
And for 2 hours, they read it to you.
Well,
oh God.
I mean, again, it's just steps that
I hate this world. You can't have pictures of swimsuit models because fat women can't stand it. Listen,
you can go down to the Patriots Pro Shop and buy the calendar.
I've seen calendars with guys with six packs, and I sit there and say, boy, I wish I had a six pack because I shovel another sub into my big fat ass.
That's a good point. Maura O'Brien used to have a Tyson Beckford or whatever in his underwear with like his schlong hanging out and everything.
Speaking of Cali girls' preference.
Yeah.
Forget it.
But I wasn't offended. I just, she wants that. Who cares? Why is everybody so freaking sensitive?
Right. I would never look at that and think, boy, she should take that down.
I made fun of her.
But I'm saying if someone is offended by it, I understand that. And they say, could you take that down? And I can't imagine that any rational human being is going to sit there and risk their job for a stupid calendar. Yeah. I don't get that.
Paul.
I don't understand that. Plus, I can fall back on, well, the company never formally trained me that I was offending all of my coworkers, and then I continued to do that, and that was, you know, in fact, putting my job in jeopardy.
Well, you know, I guess I side with you, Paul, but, you know, to play devil's advocate, you can make the case that the workplace is changing so rapidly, and it's hard for people who, you know, maybe are kind of traditionalist to understand how changes in the workplace are happening, so we need to do this.
Right. See, but I think in light of all those changes in the workplace,
you're asking us to be a human being.
I think the changes in the workplace explain that, yes, you would have to take it down if someone came to you and said, that offends me, could you take that down? I don't necessarily agree with it. I agree with Tom and Andy. There's nothing offensive to me about any of those things, but I'm not a good judge of that because nothing really offends me. I'm really not bothered by any of that kind of external stuff.
Except pretty much everything I say.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But my point being, I understand that things have changed, and I'm probably in the minority with this PC stuff that envelops our whole world now. None of that stuff bothers me. I understand it bothers other people. What I don't understand is why we need to have a seminar to explain that stuff to us, other than just saying, like Tom said, communication. If it bothers you, say something. Otherwise, don't be a rebel rouser behind closed doors.
I'm the employee that it bothers, and now I feel ashamed. I feel nervous about making this known because I feel like I might be ostracized. I might be made fun of for
you
feeling this way.
Well, those are the things that you should think of then.
You know, but
that's what you should think of because you know what? If you would feel like that, then you're probably right. to feel like that, and you're in the minority, mm-hmm. and you should grow up. That's what I think.
Well, I don't know about that. I think you could make cases where people in the minority have been right in the past.
I just think they should come, like,
and they didn't have the defense.
Fred, like you said, all the people complaining about Andy up in the office. Who's complaining about me? Fred, when I was out, it's all he talked about on Tuesdays was how people are complaining about you up in the office.
It's easier to give you the list of who's not.
I'd say two, three times a day I find myself saying, well, you really don't know him.
Why don't they just come up to Andy and tell him what's bothering them?
Because they're afraid of him.
Why would they be afraid of me?
Because you're an oversized head. They think you're not.
Yeah, why is that okay? I'm offended by that. That makes me uncomfortable. My head jokes.
And if you said that to me once, I would never say it to you again.
You have no defense.
Right. You wouldn't believe me.
Because I would understand that the second time I say it after you tell me to stop, I could potentially be putting my job in jeopardy by saying it again.
That's right.
And I'm not a moron, so I would stop saying
like,
it.
Yeah, like, you know me well enough now where you'll throw a diabetes joke around, and that doesn't bother me. But if I went up to you and said, Andy, can you kind of lay off that? That's really personal. You would.
No, I'd have to say no.
Here we go.
You've never specifically asked me to lay off anything.
Here we go.
Yes, I have. When? Yes, I have. Tons of times.
Up in the office,
I tell you not to do that.
I don't think he takes you seriously, though.
That's my point.
But I don't think you've ever asked me specifically to not make gay jokes.
I've never heard. Well,
Fred told me once we should lay off, and then the next week he started making gay jokes.
We laid off until he started making them again.
You have never specifically said, seriously, can I talk to you about something?
No, I never pulled you aside and said, seriously, can I talk to you about something? But when you've been making fun of me, I've said, knock it off.
Yeah, but that's...
And you don't...
That's different if it's in the midst of, like, this.
Like, how is that different?
I've never seriously...
But if you called me over and said, seriously, can we talk about something?
How is that different?
I really do want to be a priest. Don't make fun of me about that.
It's amazing to me that he found that venue to still make fun of you in.
I know.
But it
is astounding.
I agree with him, though.
Who's making fun of me? Who's offended by me? He wants to know.
I'll give you an example. There was a person who worked here by my cube who I made fun of for a certain issue forever. And one day he got really mad and said, blah, 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 blah. I never mentioned that issue ever again.
Was it steroids?
Years, yes.
Was it what?
Yeah.
Never again did I bring up that word.
So basically what he's saying is you really have to be mad.
Make it serious in the right setting, not in the midst of everybody. We're on the show, we're laughing, and he goes, enough. How am I supposed to know what enough means?
I've said that to you up in the office before, too. You just don't care to remember.
You've never in a one-on-one setting.
I didn't think I needed to pull you over to the side
and talk
to you. It's time to air it all right now.
I really don't think
What is it that you want Andy to stop making fun of you?
Well, you shouldn't either, then.
I don't.
Watch out for the lightning.
I think we're below ground.
I only do it on Tuesdays when you're not here.
I support gay marriage. I support gay rights.
He watches the WNBA.
Some of your friends are gay?
I'm a friend of the gays.
I went to a Madonna concert once.
I'm a friend of the gays.
If we had video PFW in progress right now, you would see Fred Kirsch with the Jerry Seinfeld smile on his face the way he's talking.
Absolutely,
I am. I am a full supporter of the gays.
I am too.
The gays.
That's what he said.
I'm just quoting him.
I think our show would be better if we had an open gay member.
Well, then hire one, because there aren't any on this show.
We thought we did.
Who'd have known?
Rookie free agent cornerback.
Eric, I didn't tell you that you were an affirmative action a hire.
Between you and two gender, we thought we'd really hit something.
Do we have any Patriots?
That is so gay.
All right, we're only kidding around. Just kidding.
Seriously, Andy, after the show, let's talk.
Okay, we'll talk, Eric.
Web Brady.
See, but you say it with a laugh. That leads me to believe it's a joke.
Now on
the
radio, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to go.
He almost swore.
I'm going to go over to Andy. I'm going to say, listen, Andy, you know what?
Fat.
I've really put on a really lot of weight. I don't feel good about myself. Could you stop calling me fat?
Don't you think if you went to Andy and said...
I couldn't even get that out with a straight face.
Say like you got depression or something and it being overweight was like really a problem with you.
And you brought Andy.
Do you think he'd be making fun of your weight? No, he'd just be making fun of you being bald.
If it really did bother me, either one of those issues, I would say something.
You know, like for example, Andy, you know... A couple of years ago, you came to me and said, please don't make fun of my small penis anymore. I don't.
Listen, you're the only one that saw that.
Renee's on the phone. Renee, thank you so much for lunch today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Renee.
That was great.
Very nice. Thank you.
I take it I'm not getting deleted anymore, right now?
Nope, no more deletions.
You've been deleting emails?
I don't delete emails.
Renee,
what's the matter with you?
Renee, I got a question for you. Do you really hate me?
Who... Do I really hate you?
Yeah.
I can't even tell who this is.
That's Eric. That's a gay member of the show.
Oh. No, Eric, I don't hate you.
Oh, okay. No, just checking.
Just, you know what?
Because some of your...
Paul and Andy, on the other hand.
No, cause I couldn't tell because, you know, your affection for Tom, sometimes you take it out on me. So, I was just checking. Just wondering, that's all.
No, I don't hate him. He is. I want to know why Paul said... Save that one, Renee, on the last show, though. What the hell am I saving?
What the hell am I saving? That's an Paul, why don't you
It's
talk?
A WEEI thing. One of the producers, longtime producers, his name is Renee Marchando, and there was a memorable soundbite that happened that they wanted him to save, and they said, save that one, Renee, and they constantly play that. So that's anytime there's something I want Gary to say, I say, save that one, Renee.
Gotcha.
I didn't mean you. I apologize for that if I confused you.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was like, what in the world? All right, well, listen, I'm going to take some more Percocet, and I'm going to bed because my teeth are killing me.
Sweet. Sounds good. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for the lunch again.
Take care of
You're
those
okay,
gaps where the wisdom teeth were.
Okay. That's Renee.
Fred.
What does that mean?
God almighty.
She had her wisdom teeth taken out.
I know.
I can't
know.
Say take care of your wisdom teeth because she doesn't have them anymore.
What is wrong with you?
And this man didn't get invited to this sensitivity training class, did he?
What?
There's just the man.
Maybe they're going to have like a bigger, better one
like
later.
A management level
this
one.
This is like just the average Joe one. And then
doesn't that usually work the other way around? Doesn't it start from the top? And
hey, on another subject, did you happen to see that video of the ball girl in the minor league baseball game that made that catch in foul territory?
No.
It's like... It's something that Bo Jackson would have done in his prime. It was the most unbelievable catch. She actually climbed up a wall. It was like, you know, a wall where it met in the corner. Put one foot in one corner, one on one side, leaped in the air, and made this catch
like Spider-Man.
So effortlessly. The left fielder was just like stunned. And then she just walks, runs off, and sits down back at her bed. You saw it, Dan?
I'm trying to figure out why she would have done it.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
And
I
how was the ball
there?
Girl?
The guy didn't go after it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why would there be a ball hit that far that she would have to scale a wall?
And she could get to.
Exactly. It was
like,
weird.
They're not positioned by the
You know how, like,
the
left
fence?
Field in Fenway, there's not much of a gap.
Between. Right.
Well, here there was probably like 6 feet between the line and the wall. And the left fielder just watched it. Meanwhile, she tears down the line and makes this
I have
catch.
To see that one.
It might have been fake.
I think it sounds fake.
But it was a real catch.
They got all these fake videos out there now. That's the new thing.
The description sounds fake.
You got Kobe Bryant, like, jumping over the Grand Canyon, dunking a ball now.
Mike St. Onge sent it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I probably have it in my deleted box.
So check it out. It's
I assume it's on YouTube and I could
ball
girl catch.
Ball girl catch, yeah. it was absolutely.
How do you pronounce it?
I thought it was Onge, but. Whatever.
O-N-G-E. Whatever.
I don't know. It's just funny the way you said it. That's
what did you say?
Ongi.
Ongi.
I bet you that's not right.
Like the former Cleveland Indians pitcher, Sid Mungie. Mongi. Ongi.
No
I like it.
I don't know.
You know, going with it.
St. Ongi. He was the patron saint of
Lost
oranges,
causes?
I think.
Huh. It's not even colloquial. Like,
who was St. Ongi?
I don't know, Fred.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You don't have him on your dashboard?
No, I don't.
No?
Sorry.
Who's the one you put on your dashboard? St. Francis?
Christopher.
Oh, St. Christopher.
Christopher, yeah. I don't have any saints on my dashboard.
He's the patron saint of head wounds?
Travel.
Travel.
I have it in my visor over the driver's right. side.
Got the
it's really helped me a lot.
The St. Christopher's
accidents.
Bracelet from Gone Baby Gone?
Right?
Yeah. Huh?
Well, Gone Baby
You're
Gone
not dead.
Huh?
You're not dead.
I know. Still there, isn't it?
You didn't have that.
By the way, I should mention, when I was ailing and, you know, feeling bad, it was nice to listen to the show and listen to Andy say when someone wished their condolences, he's not dead yet. Thank you.
It's true.
Now, one of these days, something bad's going to happen to Andy and we're going to all laugh.
And he's going to be bitching and crying for, right. He'll be the biggest baby out of everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Could be.
So far, he's had everything handed to him in his life.
He does have a pretty good life.
Yeah.
I do. I don't deny that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you didn't have those stomach problems, you'd have, like, a perfect life.
Oh, my God. We went to, I had a fried seafood plate on.
Why are you eating fried seafood?
Cross another one off the list.
Because I like it. But.
Because it's fried.
It was way worse than anything I've ever had in my life. The worst ever.
I was afterwards or during?
Afterwards. It started at about 5 o'clock that night, went through the next morning.
By the way, Andy, for those of our listeners who can't see, which is all of them, Andy's shirt is the color of the fire water that usually comes out of his.
Right, he's got his Syracuse shirt.
Now, is there a chance that it could have been part your problem and part bad fish?
No one else. Deidre ate it, and she was fine. We actually split a seafood plate because those are going through the roof, Fred.
Yeah,
$39.99 for a seafood plate.
Where the hell are you going? Legal seafood?
No, some place we found on that Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It was in Tiverton.
Oh, Dives, and you're wondering why you felt sick afterwards.
Yeah, but for $40.
Sorry, I don't have to like pull my nose up to enter a restaurant. Jesus, you want fried seafood?
You don't generally off seafood. You're going to a dive.
You want fried seafood? You don't generally go to a place where like you know the guy's in a bow tie seating at your seat. You want a clam shack? You know nothing about seafood, so be quiet.
You should go to Woodman's. Ever been to Woodman's in Ipswich?
No. I don't think he would be able to walk through the door.
He's so you know, Tom, I have 5 seconds before he asks me if I've ever been there.
He's got a clam shack. He's got an everything. He's got a clam shack. He's got a go-to clam shack.
Hey, they invented the fried clam.
But I bet you if I went there, I'd be crapping my brains out afterwards.
You probably would be, but you would love the food.
I think seafood is, I mean, fried food is a trigger.
Really? You think? Yeah. You caught that one, did you?
No, but the toilet did.
You really are.
Well, most of it. According to you.
Well, that's true. The underside of the toilet seat caught some of it.
I still don't get that.
I don't either, and Deidre gets angry.
She should.
All right, let's get to some emails. Dallas of Clinton, or is it Clinton of Dallas? I don't know. Anyway, this person says, first-time email, long-time listener. I was just listening to Tuesday's podcast and heard you guys had to get your own lunch. With times being what they are, many of us cannot afford to buy all of you lunch, so I have an idea. Open up a PayPal account or something similar that people can put whatever they feel like into it.
They are.
Whether it's $5 or $20, it'll build up. What are we, the Obama campaign all of a sudden?
We are, though. On
That's a good point. People are going to waste millions of dollars on Obama. Why not waste it on us?
That way, when none of the regulars are able to buy, you guys can just dip into that rather than pull out the plastic. It would have to be linked to a card and the money pulled out ahead of time, but that's the best I can come up with off the top of my head. Keep up the great work, and I wish Tom a speedy recovery.
Thank you. And if your name's Dallas, you're okay by me. I was actually going to name my kid Dallas because I liked the name, but the original reason why I was going to do it was too crazy, so now I can't do it at all. That's a good name, Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas Casale.
Yeah.
Dallas Pioli, right?
I was going to say, that's Pioli's wife's name.
That's Bill Parcells' daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, are you going to name Dallas boy or girl?
Early on, I was going to do it because I was a crazy Cowboys fan. Then I actually grew to like the name, but now I can't do it.
As either or? As a boy or a girl's name? Or
I'm not having a girl. I'm going to be like the Chinese. I'm going to throw it in the river.
That's what they do over there, Fred.
They give them up for adoption a lot.
They throw them in the river. Old school.
Old school, yeah. But
if you had a girl,
yeah,
she didn't make it.
This is a new China.
Sunrise.
Yeah, this is new China.
This is new. The guy's only ranked in the top 5 of dictators, not number 1 overall.
Tom, somebody's at the door.
Are they?
Hey guys, it's Cali Girl.
How you doing?
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word of the day.
Well, Callie, thank you, and again, tell strippers we said hello. I don't know what Two Gender was going to do before I brought up my seafood platter like 2 minutes ago, but today's word, seafood pudding. That's seafood pudding. You don't even know what it is. How are you yucking?
I can only imagine.
What do you think it is?
I don't want to know.
I thought with a Callie girl doing the intro, he's going to do something about the dark meat.
Two Gender, look that up. That might be for next week.
Let's see. Tom from Nottingham. It was before the Super Bowl when I last emailed. I haven't really been following the league for a while, but still listen every week to the show. And on the whole, it's all good. Just a couple general questions. This season, we showed that stats can't win you the big game. So if we don't win the Super Bowl this season, is it reasonable to think that our run of being the best in the league is coming to an end, or have we still got a few years left? Also, how much blame will Brady get if the Pats perform badly this season? Will that fact that he's never been in Foxborough during the offseason hurt his popularity, or does the fact that he's Tom Brady get him off the hook? Congratulations to Gary and Tom. Hope I have a full recovery. Well, Brady is in Foxborough during the offseason, so it's not right to say he's never.
Just not as much as
But if they have a bad season, shouldn't the coach take some of the blame?
Sure.
Well, I think everybody will take some of the blame if they have a bad season.
But I think it's a good question, because if they do have a bad season, the fans here expect a winner, you know, kind of like I do in Dallas. And when there's not a winner, you have to blame somebody.
Right.
So who's going to get that blame, do you think, if, say, they went 9-7?
I think we'll have to see what happens, you know.
But, Brady, this is a – people can use this.
People will get the blame.
No, but I'm saying – there are. I'm not the only person like me in New England, reactionary, cheap shot.
No.
I mean, but seriously, listen to the Weiner line on EEI, and there's plenty
you
of...
You are New England.
Right. So there's a lot of people that know he was maybe a little less active in the offseason program this year, and if he struggles or the team struggles, we'll not forget that point. They'll, whether it's any way related or not, they'll remember
and
that.
All We've of a been sudden, those pictures with Giselle in New York.
Right, they're not so funny.
Meaning.
It's not so cute seeing him with A-Rod and Jay-Z while Matt Light's doing bench press.
They were saying that months ago when people were writing in saying we were crazy to even bring it up. We were saying, well, if things go bad, don't be surprised.
But I'm not sure there's one of those for Bill. And
I don't
think there's a specific
Fred.
Thing to look
there's
at.
There's no way of knowing. You know, like you can just say in a vacuum, what if they go 9-7? But you have no reason.
Right.
You have no idea why they went 9-7. Did they go 9-7 because, you know, 16 starters got hurt and were out for the year or whatever? Did they go 9-7 because everything went great and Belichick just kind of lost it and didn't know how to put a game plan together and whatever? Who knows? You have no idea to know why. I find it hard to imagine a scenario that Belichick and Brady take a lot of heat.
Well, I think Brady can, because we've seen him take heat. People started criticizing him 2 years ago. Criticizing Tom Brady.
I'm talking about a lot. I'm not talking about there's some guys that talk about it. And you're right. He took heat for the body language thing. We thought it was ridiculous.
We were right.
And he was also taking heat for zeroing in on Randy Moss. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you call that, but see, that's what I'm talking about. If you're calling that heat, then I'm talking about real stuff. I'm talking
well,
about.
They haven't really lost.
I'm talking
a lot
about
yet.
Columns like
yeah.
killing him.
When they start
there's never
losing
been one.
Him, it'll happen.
There's never been one,
and there won't
but
be.
But they haven't really lost.
But I think Andy's
here.
Andy's.
But that's
point
not what I'm saying.
Right,
I can't imagine.
Right,
I'm talking
something.
About if they lose.
Like
you
Andy's
have something
point,
to focus
like,
on.
Like, how many times have you heard me say Roy Williams loves the nightlife, blah, blah? You don't think T.O.'s out partying?
Right.
I just use that because Roy Williams sucks, and I'm just trying to find something else to get on him.
Yeah, Fred, my point isn't that Brady should have taken heat before now. No, he shouldn't have. And neither should Belichick have.
I don't think he ever would take heat.
I don't think he ever will.
I think if the Patriots went on an extended losing streak, couple seasons, well, I think people would start.
Should it have to take that long?
Well, yeah, he's earned a lot of cred, don't you think?
I think that, you know, I like to think like Belichick. I like to take every season as its own entity. I think it's not related to the last one. I think if they do something the way they don't play up to expectations.
Did Brett Favre build up any credit with you, Fred?
With Packers fans, he did.
Well, he should have with everybody because he's one of the best
I
ever
know,
play.
I know, but talking about the fans of the team. I think
Felger's been ripping. He's a fan of the team.
Felger's
been ripping him
since 98.
Yes, yeah.
But I think, well, Felger likes to be, you know.
Well, there's a lot
He absolutely loved the guy until, like, one all of a sudden it was like, bang, it just changed.
And there's
98.
A lot of Felger-type personalities.
And even he turned. And I'm saying even Patriots would turn on Brady.
I don't think that will happen. That's where I'm disagreeing with
you.
I do. I don't think you'll read Collins.
I think if he went out.
There's other reasons for that.
If he went out next year and threw 20 touchdowns and 20 interceptions and they went 8-8 or 9-7, I don't think he would have a tremendous amount of heat on him.
Oh, they'd be questioning.
How many?
Oh,
numbers? Yeah. 20 and
20?
20
and 20.
Once,
I don't think.
Once the season is over, they'd be questioning it. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't be
would
any. I'm saying
someone
there would not be a
heat.
Column. There would not be a column written in this market that really took him to task. That would be my prediction. Now, we're never going to find it out because that's never going to happen.
Hector Luongo would write it.
You know what I'm talking about, Fred. A real column.
I don't know.
Bob Ryan.
I'm not sure I agree.
You don't think
with
Shaughnessy would write
Shaughnessy
one?
Shaughnessy might.
Under the scenario you just said, 8-8, 20-20, I think there would be.
I don't think you would.
And even if there's
you
not.
You know how these guys, somebody would do it to get their name
I
out there.
I think Shaughnessy
yeah,
would.
Yeah, because that's what they need.
And even if they
the
don't write
the Globe and Herald guys are lacking notoriety.
The column won't say Brady slacking off leads to mediocrity, but throughout columns about the Patriots, there'll be little, well, maybe if he wasn't with Giselle in Costa Rica for 2 months.
There'll be shots throughout, right?
Little shots, because that's what New Englanders do, and God bless them.
I mean, it's an unfortunate thing because, I think we all agree, Brady's not going to have that kind of year. I mean, he's just too good.
Wow, some people believe his, you know,
I just don't think that
I've heard the phrase, look at his
model.
Last three postseason performances or season-ending games. Or what's
but
the
couldn't
phrase?
I, you know the thing I wanted to bring up, Andy? Couldn't I argue that awful, awful
31 points against the Colts, that was terrible.
But Fred, I'm just hang on. Couldn't I argue that Bill Belichick's decision to hand the ball off to Heath Evans in that Colts game, which is still one of the worst calls I've ever seen, really hurt them to win? Couldn't I argue that not kicking that field goal really hurt their chances? I
mean, and people have said that.
Who?
I said it.
That's the end of this discussion.
Wait a minute.
Now I'm people.
And just about every column recapping that game questioned the decision to not kick that field goal.
I didn't see it.
I agree, Fred. But I haven't seen it with Brady, and you just proved my point with Brady.
Well, I don't think he had a terrible
just
game
give me
in the Super Bowl.
Give me a yes or no.
He spent the Super Bowl on his back.
Give me a yes or no. Give me a yes or no answer on the Indianapolis Colts game 2 years ago. Did he play well, yes or no?
Yes.
You just proved my point. I think if you asked Tom Brady, he would say it was one of his weaker performances.
I think he played pretty – I mean, what did they put up?
24 points.
What?
27
points. I'm talking about the AFC Championship game that they lost.
Right. 27 points.
Oh, because you're the defensive touchdown.
Right.
Yeah.
And they also had an 80-yard kickoff return to set up another touchdown, but I'll count that as 7 points that he put up.
Fred.
I think he missed more open receivers in that game than he hit.
And that was the game that the Patriots finally decided we got to get better receivers for this guy.
Okay, so it wasn't an issue for the whole year, but
it was an
issue in the final.
Come on.
That's my point right there, and that's what will happen if he has a bad year. It'll be an external factor, and people will say that.
Well,
that's what my point is.
He did not have an 8-8 2020 year.
But
that
don't misunderstand my question with me saying that Brady should be under more heat. I think he's the best in the business. I don't think he deserves to be under a lot of heat. But I'm just saying that I don't think in this town, like Tom is saying with Bill, I don't think that the fans will go after Brady.
Okay, well, hold on for a second.
I don't think the columnists will.
Okay.
I don't think the fans will.
I understand what you're saying.
There will be some people, but not a lot. The majority will be like us. I think we're overly supportive of Brady.
Okay, let's just say you take Tom Brady, same history, whatever team he's been on, he's won 3 Super Bowls, he's been the league MVP lately, set the record. Do you think any town would write that column? If you don't think they would in New England,
if they didn't think he played really well in Dallas, I think they would write it there.
Dallas is the biggest bunch of homers in the world.
I disagree.
They wanted Emmitt Smith out the door 5 years before he left.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
They wanted Troy Hambrick to play over Emmitt Smith 3 years before he retired.
That was a big Dallas
thing.
Oh. You forget a lot of these things, Fred.
Dallas is the biggest bunch of homer writers in the world.
Well, first of all,
I know nothing about Dallas, but I can't imagine their work.
No one
can
take that
Dallas
crown over us.
Critical.
We're in the pocket of 3 of the 4 major sports teams in this town, now with the Celtics included. Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics
why not Bruins?
No wrong. Because the guy hasn't won anything for 35
years.
And it took 27 of those years before they finally started criticizing
him. And for
the
past 22 years, they don't even talk about the Celtics because they were irrelevant.
And now they're all of a sudden in their pocket?
Right, because they did well this year.
No, last year they won 24 games and they could do no wrong,
Fred. When a team wins the most games of any team in the league,
you know what your problem is, Fred?
In order to do your job, you should still find a reason to
hurt
them.
You know what your problem is, Fred? You're a front runner, and you only pay attention when they win.
I'm a front
runner. This is going to get ugly.
Listen, Andy, just answer my
question.
I'm not
writing
about this coming up.
I thought you were talking about all the other writers.
Answer my question about the writers in this town, because you alluded to this a little earlier in the show. Last year, what was the predominant prevailing attitude on WEEI about the Celtics? Last year.
The plan?
The plan.
Fire Doc Rivers.
Oh, not on EEI, my friend.
Well, because he was a guest.
That's my point. We're all a bunch of homers.
But you can't judge it by EEI, Sports Talk Radio.
What are you reading in the paper? What do you count for media?
That is not the representation of
If you don't count the newspapers and the radio as media, what do you count as media?
I'm counting the newspapers.
Him.
Right. Give me one negative Fire Doc Rivers column that you've ever read. Go Google it.
Last year?
Go Google one.
Oh,
find me one.
Oh, come on.
Find me one from Bob Ryan. Find me one from Dan Shaughnessy. Find me Doc Has to Go.
Okay.
Find anybody but Bill Simmons.
Would they have been right if they wrote that?
Maybe.
You know?
I don't know. I don't know what
but you feel that,
to know
you
if it was
feel
another
that you're
guy
not
that
doing
was
your
qualified.
Job unless you take a
That's
negative
not what
slant.
I'm saying. See, this I knew you would turn it, all right? Now,
it's true.
Now we've gotten to the point where you turn the arguments. So
I mean, they won.
This is one of those ones that isn't fake.
That's the one we were talking
they
about.
They won more games this year than any other team.
I'm talking about last year when they won 24 games. 24 games.
They were
and it
a
was
joke.
Part, and it was supposed to be part of a plan.
They were talking
that
about
the attitude.
They were talking about firing Danny Ainge because all he's doing is making moves and they're not adding up to anything. That's right.
Who was saying that on the air?
In the media. Everybody was.
That's what the fans were saying, but who was saying it on the air, Fred?
Oh, come on. They weren't saying it on the show that you were on because
they weren't writing it in the newspaper.
Yes, they were.
Well, tell me who then.
I'll go back and I'll find it, and then I'll show it to you.
Because it wasn't happening, Fred.
Where do you think the fans get their stuff from? I mean, honestly.
Okay.
Honestly.
Fred, shout out the fans for no reason.
Exactly.
Tony Maserati just joined the show.
So all of a sudden,
I'm telling you, Fred, is when they won 24 games, it was perceived to be part of a plan.
They were a joke.
That was the majority.
They were making fun of the Celtics.
They were a joke. They were a joke, but not in the media's eyes.
Oh, come on,
because they all love Doc because he gives them great sound bites, and they all love Danny because they all remember when he played in the 80s.
Liking Doc as a person is separate than making fun of that team, and that's what the media did last year.
Well, Andy, I can see you biting your tongue just because you don't want to get involved, and I understand why you don't.
There was a lot of talk of a plan.
Well, that's because Danny Ainge kept telling him
and that had nothing. And that was 21 years of losing.
Just because he said something doesn't mean they have to buy it.
What about Rick Pitino? Did Rick Pitino,
it took 5 years before they turned on the guy, Fred. He did nothing but lose, and they finally turned on him.
Well, he had a couple-year honeymoon, but a lot of people criticized him.
And even then, they only really criticized him when he didn't come home, when he quit.
So then why is it that everybody says that Boston sports is the toughest place to play?
I have no idea, because I don't think anything could be further from the truth.
I think this is a very easy place to play. I don't think we're the toughest. I think New York is tougher because there's more outlets and they compete more to be more sensational. It may not be
and
as tough as L.A., but let me tell you something, Paul. Go live in Kansas City. Go live in Green Bay. You want to talk about homer journalism? That's where it is.
Fred, all I'm telling you is this has a reputation.
It just so happens that right now we have three teams that are at the top of their profession.
I think you should be comparing Boston to Green Bay.
Thank you, Tom.
You should be comparing it to New York.
Why don't you compare it to New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago and other similar sized cities?
I said New York is tougher.
Philadelphia?
But right now,
Chicago?
Those teams do not have the success we have right now, Paul. You can't make up stuff again.
Every time you bring that up, I'm bringing you back to last year in a 24-win
team. And I'm telling you, last year, the Celtics were a joke in the media.
See, this is where I disagree with you, and you just want to stand behind the fact that they were criticizing them, but they weren't.
Where do I get it from, then?
They weren't.
Where do I get it from?
I have no idea.
Why do I think that?
Maybe that's what you felt.
Oh, boy. Now we're opening a whole can of worms.
Maybe that's what
talking about you, what you think.
I guess we're reading
says
different columns,
but
maybe that's what you felt.
You've
got to
go beyond the Herald, Paul. You can't just read the Herald. And Steve Bulpet, you have to go beyond that.
Well, I mean,
there were people in this town when Grady Little was a manager that were defending Grady Little.
I was one of them.
To the teeth. Well, he was a joke.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Today, everything
he lost
is
us a World Series.
Exactly. It started. It started off with. Is a major league city better or worse for an NFL team? Of course it is.
everything anybody has said to us since then has been
you're wrong.
Black and white, Fred's way or the other way.
Fred, could I just
it's
make
tough
a
being right
I think this
all the
is
time.
One of the easiest places to play in the country because they have a passionate fan base that cares about their teams, that bang out the places that they play in, and they have a media that's over
you
the top.
You told me that these were the worst fans. You don't like the fans here. You said that they're not as good as they think they are.
I said knowledgeable.
I don't got the voice to compete with these dudes.
But they're passionate, but they're not knowledgeable?
I think they're passionate. They want to win.
Right, but they're not knowledgeable.
You just made a comment
do
about Grady Little.
Do you think that they're knowledgeable?
No.
Okay.
For the most part, no.
All right. So when they say that the Celtics stink, but the media says that it's a plan, who do you believe?
Did I think the Celtics stunk last year?
Tom, what do you have to say?
You didn't answer a question. You didn't let me answer the question.
Dan in Delaware.
You asked me two different questions.
Dan in Delaware.
Dan's got to wait.
Dan, how you doing?
Dan, you shut up for a second. I just wanted to say. I've been waiting patiently to say something because I don't got the voice to compete with these two. But you were talking about the Belichick field goal and how he was criticized.
Yes.
A year before that, Marty Schottenheimer, who's a damn good coach, passed up a field goal.
He is?
Regular season. Okay. No.
All right.
You can't say he's a terrible coach.
Another proving of my point. He is?
But he's a good coach. He passed up on a field goal. ESPN had roundtables on SportsCenter discussing it. Every major outlet wrote columns that this is why Marty's a choker. Belichick did it,
okay.
And we didn't have nearly that kind of outcry.
Do you not feel that, as far as the playoffs go, that Schottenheimer hasn't earned – that moniker.
I understand that, but that
okay,
was
but if, so, you, but if you say that, then that's
a,
fine.
But
okay.
It's a bad. It was, okay. It was a terrible decision.
But exactly.
And Belichick made a terrible decision too.
And that's my point. But it's forgiven because he's won.
But it's not.
That's the only point I was trying to make from the start.
Right.
Tom just made it perfectly for me.
But when you earn that moniker of making bad decisions and always choking in the playoffs, and when on the other hand you're Belichick and you make a bad decision, yet you have a history of winning and making good decisions. You get the benefit.
I'll give you one.
You say, okay,
that's dumb. Why not analyze it after the game?
Exactly.
What actually happened?
Exactly.
My point is,
that's
people
my point.
Did, but they're not going to have a round table.
Let me give you one.
Because he doesn't choke.
Okay,
the playoffs.
Wait. I'm not looking for SportsCenter after the Super Bowl to analyze Bill Belichick's career. I want them to analyze the last game he played.
And I think they did.
Well, I missed it then.
Yeah, I don't agree, Fred. And Fred, how about you want to go track? Back-to-back years, he lost games to end the season, correct?
He lost games. Okay.
His team lost. They,
okay.
they
well,
lost their final
no,
game.
He won,
and he made
he
a terrible
he
decision.
He won three.
Right.
They
That's
lost
That's my
two.
Point. Well, now you have 2 years in a row where he started Eric Alexander in an AFC title game, which was a terrible decision, and made probably a terrible decision on a field goal, going for a field goal. That's 2 years in a row. His team lost very close games, and a decision he made is very much worth criticism.
And I think he'd be the first
and
to
no
say...
And no one cares.
I think he would be. I think he would certainly say that those are... Fair game.
Absolutely.
But you try to work that in somewhere.
They probably should have went
right.
for the field goal.
But our point is, because everybody is just so fixated on three-time Super Bowl winning head coach Bill Belichick, the mistakes he's made, they forget about. Just like
don't,
they forget about the good
it,
that
Fred.
Marty Schottenheimer
does. Don't make a sarcastic comment right here and change
it.
Nobody in the media scratched their head and questioned the Eric Alexander move.
Not in any
okay. not the way they would
in real way.
Look, that I saw.
Look, I'm going to find this stuff, and you're going to read it. And it's
I
gonna,
will.
And it's not going to be some unknown guy from the Worcester Telegram.
Let
it's going to be
you,
guys that you know.
Shot at the Worcester Telegram.
Andy said that was a terrible decision. It was an awful decision. It could have cost him the game. I did not see anybody write that. Nobody said it that way.
Well,
can I give
and
you
Fred,
one?
We're making a general observation here that once you're painted with you're a great coach or you're a bad coach, that paint is on you, and no one analyzes in the other direction.
That's the point I'm trying
to
make.
Are those earned, though?
Of course they are. He's a great coach.
Right. But
I do think he's a great coach.
So you can't change your stripes?
I think a lot of writers...
So then Roy Williams should always be a Pro Bowl safety, because at one point he was a good Pro Bowl safety. Well, maybe not.
Well, and Bill Parcells. I mean,
and Cal Ripken should still be the shortstop starting for the American League.
You know did my Bill Parcells get criticized?
Yeah, from me he did.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the
you
media.
You don't think Bill Parcells takes criticism in the media?
I say absolutely he does. He did in Dallas. He did here. He did in New York.
But he's a good coach, right? Oh, Freddie won Super Bowl, so why he should have earned the right?
I don't
not
know
to
about
be.
Here. I don't remember him taking a lot of criticism here until he left.
Until he blew up a Super Bowl.
My
week.
Point
right.
is, how long does that buy you? Because I think Parcells is a Hall of Fame coach, but in Dallas, I think he did an average job of coaching. Did a great job of acquiring talent. Average job of coaching. But should I say
his hands were tied in Dallas? But you can't use that.
Let me give you one.
At coaching, I said he did a good job at getting the talent. Well, that's where his hands were tied.
Can I give you one in reverse here that I think kind of makes the point, too? You're talking about when you paint it with that brush, how long does that stay? Celtics again. Kevin Garnett is perceived to be not just locally, not locally at all, because, again, we're the Homer Central, but nationally has perceived to be a player who shrinks in the moment. He doesn't play his best in the biggest spots.
Prior to this year.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
And continuing through this
year.
I'm just setting the stage
recent,
here.
The most recent column of which was written Tuesday.
No, I know, but even before
that's his reputation,
right,
and it was his reputation
right.
in these playoffs.
Right, okay.
People on the airwaves here were wondering if the national guys
right.
were right.
Right, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Peter Vesey absolutely destroyed him on Tuesday, calling him the counterfeit ticket. And... Jason Whitlock said he's subconsciously doesn't want to win a title and that he's killing them. While Paul Pierce is elevating his game, Kevin Garnett is shrinking in the moment.
Okay.
Okay. Now he goes out and gets 26 points and 14 rebounds. It was an absolute animal Tuesday night, and all those guys are wrong.
Are they?
That's what the local media is saying. All those guys were wrong. I love Kevin Garnett. I don't think that perception of him is accurate. Okay, so I'm probably not the fair guy to judge. But if you thought that before Tuesday, and he had one good game, why is that brush not painting him?
Well, wait a minute.
Why doesn't he get the benefit of the doubt against him?
Whoa. You're saying now all those guys are wrong.
No, no, no. That's what the local media is saying.
Okay. Did Peter Vesey say now I'm wrong?
No.
Okay.
And Bill Simmons did, though. But Bill Simmons criticized Kevin Garnett, and he said yesterday, I was wrong about Doc, and I was wrong about Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
If you went into that game thinking those guys are chokers and not that good,
right.
they
I
had
agree.
He had one great game,
right.
and
right.
that changed your whole perception?
Well, you're talking about an individual. I mean, for example, Peter Vesey didn't. Change. It didn't change.
Well, it changed Bill Simmons' perception. He's
and
a national columnist.
But you can't paint a broad brush and say all media are like that now. That's Bill
Simmons.
I'll
wait and see what Peter Vesey writes for the next column that he writes. Maybe he will say he was wrong. You know, I just think that this whole thing about once you get labeled something,
right.
if it's good, that means you deserve that benefit of the doubt. You know,
for a while.
Well, like Andy said, the last 2 years you can make an argument that Bill has not been at his best with the season on the line. You can make that argument.
Isn't that fair?
Well, yeah, I know, but he got to the AFC Championship. He got to the Super Bowl.
So did
Maybe
Marty Schottenheimer. He won 12 games every
there,
freaking year.
He gets
year.
There every time, but he can never,
get past the first
he
round.
He can never seal the deal. He got past the first
Patriot
round plenty
fans
of times.
Are not happy.
He can never win the big one.
But Bill has 3 times.
Right, and it doesn't matter. That's exactly my point that we started with. So is nothing that happens
what
from here on forward will ever
no,
be criticizable.
That's not true.
2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's not true.
He will never, ever not have won those 3 Super Bowls.
But I think if he keeps losing, yes, he's going to get criticized.
The argument that they got to the Super Bowl is ridiculous. They were a 2-touchdown favorite and 18-0.
Whether it's players or coaches, they lose it. Joe Gibbs is a perfect example. I mean, who has built a better resume than Joe Gibbs?
He got a pretty bad team to the playoffs last year.
But he was still criticized by a lot of
people.
He
got a team that lost 52-7 in a game that was less competitive than my high school team. So he got that team to the playoffs last year.
So why
I think Joe Gibbs is pretty good. I think he's a pretty good coach.
But you know what?
I think he did a pretty good job last year.
When he did that stupid timeout thing, we ripped him.
Of course we did.
Why can't you look at it as on an individual game-by-game, decision-by-decision basis?
And I think people – I think – Again, you don't remember, you didn't hear for some reason anyone criticizing Bill Belichick. Maybe I'm more sensitive to it because I absolutely did.
Okay. But I think there are two decisions that are major, that are worth like full stories, not just a line.
I think what you guys want to do is paint a broad brush and say this is how it is all the time.
See, I think that the difference...
Everybody's like this or everybody's not like that.
I think the difference of our opinions is less philosophical as it is you're hearing criticism and we're not.
Well,
I don't think it's a philosophical difference of opinion.
Whether I hear it more or
I don't
it's
hear.
There.
Forget more. I don't hear any. I've never heard anybody criticize Bill Belichick.
Agreed.
Not for football. Not for football. Let me rephrase. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. He got plenty of criticism for Spygate and all of that. Matter of fact, probably more than he deserved. Lambasted for that. I'm talking about X's nose. I have yet to read a column that said Eric Alexander? ? Never saw that once.
I think Bob Ryan wrote it the day after.
I want to see that story.
I'd like to see it.
Can you go to clips?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go get these so that you guys can see it.
Okay, I'd like to read that because I didn't say I read everything, and certainly the day after that game, the last thing I was doing was reading those clips. So you're probably right. I might have missed it. But I think we're less different philosophically than we are what you say that they do criticize, and we say the guy can do anything. I think the guy could do anything. I think he could rape someone at midfield, and they would say, hey, won 3 Super Bowls. I don't think there's anything he could do wrong.
Embrace the hate.
Right,
in a way.
But if he uses a videotape, if he rapes someone, they'll let him do it. But if he uses a videotape camera, then they'll kill him.
Then you're R. Kelly.
Right, right. Okay.
Hey,
he was acquitted.
That makes sense.
That was not it. He was acquitted.
That makes sense.
Isn't someone on
people were just waiting to jump on him.
I just don't think his football coaching. They were waiting. Fred, don't confuse the fact that they don't like him. And they don't like the way he acts and operates with it. They don't
think
he's a good coach.
I think in this town, when it comes to media, whether or not you like a guy has a big impact on how you
But you're confusing people like
Wade Phillips.
Those guys that are in the locker
room. He's a hell of
a
nice guy.
Those guys that are in the locker room that make it, you know, eye contact, know the writers' names, you know, talk to him about the charity events.
You think that they liked Herm Edwards in New York when he sat down with writers for an hour in his office? He got criticized, didn't he?
But he'd get more if he didn't do that.
How much more could he have gotten? Ran him out of town.
The guy absolutely is terrible.
He led the Jets to the playoffs like 3 or 4 times in 6.
Is Herm Edwards a good coach?
No,
then don't make excuses for him.
But don't say he never won. Like he's Rich Kotite.
He's terrible, and the media knew it. That's why he got run out of town. Period.
He's terrible. In the
period.
Well, he let him in their office. He talked with them, according to you,
and it would have happened sooner if he didn't do that.
All right.
Guys like that have to
now,
do
you know
those
why
things.
They criticized him? Because he made stupid decisions on the field.
He's
like
a bad coach.
Like Bill Belichick
I'll
did the
this.
Last 2 years in the biggest games
I'll
that
tell
no one
you this.
Said a word about.
If the Patriots were the Jets, okay, and Bill Belichick took the 2006 Jets to the AFC Championship and started Eric Alexander and took the field with one wide receiver, the Jets media would have been killing Bill Belichick.
The guy that we all believe is in the back pocket of the Patriots more than anyone, Mike Reese, the day after the Super Bowl, questioned the whole of what happened last year.
He questioned it or he wrote it.
Cause to kick themselves, question mark. He wrote it.
Right. What is the – read it.
Bill Belichick and his coaching staff went against the grain at Super Bowl, 42.
Continue.
Whatever.
The options seem clear. Attempt a field goal, 48 to 49 yards. Go for it, figuring that punch or poop, blah, blah. Percentages according. And, he says.
Yeah, keep reading. You won't find it.
Says according to the. They went, it was
the
a
facts.
Bad decision.
Oh, wait. Where does he say that? Read that to me and I'll say I was wrong.
Belichick did not go into detail regarding the decision, which might not even be a topic of discussion today had the Patriots held on to win the game. But given the fact.
Make it an excuse.
But given the fact that they lost by 3 points, the against the grain decision was an obvious starting point for those analyzing the key areas in which the contest slipped away.
Keep going. So far, he's presented the facts very accurately. The facts are accurately stated.
If there was one coaching decision that warranted second guessing, this was it. He wrote it. It's right here.
That's awfully. If he's not saying he's second guessing it, if there was one that deserves second guessing,
well, I mean,
that would be it.
That's the column right there.
I'm looking for the column that says that
okay,
was the wrong choice.
It's not enough, according to Paul. We have to call the guy an idiot, and
no,
a jerk. And,
no, I'm
never
said it was a bad decision.
He doesn't.
I'm looking for someone who said it was
a
bad
decision. Ron Borges.
I'm looking for someone to
coach.
Say it was a bad decision, Fred.
Right.
He says
he misinterpreted the decision.
He says it might have been and it might not have been.
Well, maybe Mike
That's
Reese realizes that he's just a reporter and not a coach.
Okay, so there's columnists out there.
First of all, Mike Reese isn't a columnist.
And I don't blame. Yeah, I don't blame Mike.
That's the job of a
don't
columnist
make this out
to
be a
opinions.
Mike thing because I think he's one of the best in the on the beat.
So,
I think he does a good job,
but he didn't come out strong enough.
It's not his job. But wait, is that a column or is that a did Gasper write the game story and this is a column?
Well, I don't know.
It might be his on football.
Because
that
if that's a column and he believes it was a bad decision, say it. Don't just pose.
If it was a column, he's supposed
well,
to. Leave.
It might be questionable. You're supposed to write to me that you think it was
well,
a bad decision.
I think for Mike Reese to even bring it up like that is.
But if it's a column,
what he usually does.
Well,
doesn't second guess.
Well, here's my question as the reader.
But if he's writing a column, he has to.
My question as the reader to the writer of that story is, does he think they should have kicked the field goal or not? Based on what you read me, I have no
idea.
And
I think Mike presents the facts and lets the reader make a decision.
Well, I don't think that's a columnist's job.
I want an opinion.
A columnist's job is to tell you what he thinks.
If the columnist thinks that the Super Bowl changed because of a decision
right.
on that play, then they should say
that
was
all,
a bad
that's
decision.
All I'm
I know, but if Bill Belichick was immune to criticism, that wouldn't even be written
well,
by
the
guy
the criticism
who was the
there?
Most positive Patriots writer in
Show
the
Show me
in
what
the
criticism is in that story,
by,
Fred.
By bringing up the subject that it can be second
what, that it happened? That's a criticism?
I believe the word second.
He went for a fourth
that's
and
like
13.
That's like saying the Globe was criticizing him during Spygate.
I said it happened. Well, were people criticizing him or not? If he's saying that, can you imagine what other people
would
have
done to gender?
Bob Ryan criticized Bill Belichick at the in the aftermath of Spygate.
February 5th, Mike Reese, Belichick effed up right here.
What? Yeah.
That's from Dan Tugender. So...
It's from whoa! I just got this. Why is Gary Gradecki listening to our show on his honeymoon? You freaking loser!
Wow,
that is the worst of all time.
He didn't.
He
say
is
it.
A loser.
No, he might be logged,
logged
in.
As Gary.
It's from Gary Gradecki. Nope, it says right here at the top of the page, Gary Gradecki.
But you
this,
guys,
this is printed
like
it off his email.
You
but
guys
this
like
veered
to
way
paint
off
this
course.
Town. You know, the fans are not knowledgeable. The media
is
all Homer.
See,
there's nothing good about New England.
We got to end this because now he's getting...
He's getting sarcastic.
Fred,
this is
me.
What happens.
Wait, those are your words.
No,
the fans aren't knowledgeable and the media are
Fred,
Homer.
Listen to me.
But those are your words.
Fred, listen,
to make that out to be the point of this whole argument is ridiculous,
Fred. Listen, I can't talk much
but
more.
That's but that's where your judgment's coming from.
Listen,
that's my point.
I do think that the media here is a bunch of Homers.
I grew up in New York and
the fans are not knowledgeable.
And I followed the Cowboys for 20 years.
Yes, you said that.
Tell me what
places
that
are
is
harder
wrong.
on the team.
I think we're as knowledgeable as any other fan base in the country.
I agree.
And fans as a whole are not
do not really know the sport.
Okay.
True or false?
I think they know the sport. When it comes to baseball, what's there to know?
He's the best.
Here we go.
He is the best.
Here we go.
Dan in Delaware.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Dan, wow, that's patience. Hey, now, you're from Delaware. Any insight?
An hour ago when I first called, yeah, somebody was talking about how the fan base isn't very knowledgeable. And I don't agree. I think they may not always follow all the trades and everything coming in the off season, but I think they know the fundamentals of the sports as good or better than most other cities.
I agree with that.
I do too.
And
I think
Paul would too, but he thinks that all the cities don't know.
I was going to say,
unless you play baseball, you don't know baseball.
This has nothing to do with Boston at all, to be honest with you. I think in general, fans just want to watch the game for enjoyment. I don't think they know the fundamentals of the game at all.
I think Boston fans, I grew up in Boston. People grow up and you play hockey and you play football and you play basketball and you play baseball and you know how to do it. You know where you're supposed to be at every position. You know what you're supposed to do. That's the way
with all due respect, that has nothing at all to do with pro sports.
All right. Well, maybe, you know, pro sports, if everybody knew everything in pro sports.
And believe me, I will be the first one to tell you that I've been an NFL writer for 10 years, and I couldn't tell you the first thing about half of the fundamentals that are going on in the field in front of me at training camp every day.
Really? Well, the reason I called.
First one to admit it.
The reason I called was about the Celtics game, and did you guys see at the end of the game when Garnett went over and gave Bill Russell a big hug?
Yeah.
You know, I want to get a picture of that so bad. When I saw that picture, all of a sudden in my mind just flooded all the great teams in the past from you know, Russell and Cousy and Auerbach and Bird and McHale and Parrish and right up to today, you know, we've had a bit of a drought, but you know what this team showed? And it reminded me of it when he hugged Bill Russell. This team showed Celtic pride and a Boston work ethic.
And he also said, you know, I hope we made you proud.
And he said you can keep yours, because remember,
Russell said
he'd give him one of his rings.
Yes. I got my own.
I mean,
you know, they don't fit on my hands.
Do you think, like, Paul Pierce is thinking, you know what, enough of this Celtic pride. This is about us.
I think Paul Pierce thinks that,
but
100%.
Thing, you mentioned Boston work ethic. Does that mean that the Lakers didn't work hard?
No, they didn't work hard. They didn't care.
Just not as good.
The Celtics were better.
I think you're absolutely right, Fred. How's that? After a half hour disagreeing with everything you said, I think the Celtics' talent has been vastly undersold in this series. They didn't beat the Lakers because they work harder or a lunch pail group. They beat the Lakers because they're better, top to bottom.
And for some reason, that all started like a couple weeks ago. Like, the Celtics were the best team in basketball.
I'll tell you,
all of a sudden they couldn't beat anybody.
That Vladimir Radmanovic is one of the worst NBA players I've ever seen in any year. He stinks. That's one of the worst players ever.
Let me show you where they showed the work ethic, okay? They came out two games absolutely flat, getting beat. They never gave up. And they kept in the trenches, and they worked through it.
I didn't say they didn't have a great work ethic. I said they didn't beat the Lakers because of work ethic. They beat them because they were better in every aspect.
They were better defensively.
They were better offensively. They were better rebounding.
Dan, if they had a better bench, they wouldn't have been able to come back from 24 points.
They were a better team.
What I'm saying is they showed the very same thing. Team play, caring about each other, good defense, work ethic and Celtic pride that made all those other teams great in the past.
Talent.
So I think this is more than just a one-year thing. That's what I'm saying. I think they stick together, you're absolutely right.
If they come back, they stay healthy.
If they stay healthy like they did this year, I think they'll be right back in the thick of things next year, just like the Patriots have been time and time again.
Hey, one last thing, too. You know, you guys have been talking about the bobblehead dolls, and I think that would be a great thing to do, right? But you know what you could do that might be a little bit cheaper and even more fun for us fans?
Blow-up dolls.
No. Eric might like that for you guys.
More fun.
Hey, why don't you guys put your faces on golf balls?
And then people can hit us?
You bet, man.
I don't think Andy's head would
fit. I was going to say, do they have, like, oversized golf
balls?
We'd
have to go beach
ball.
You'd
have to go basketball.
No, I could call you guys up and complain and say, oh, you know what? I sliced Tom really bad.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. I bet you it's cheaper for us to do.
Eric, maybe if you have a serious conversation.
You can see what people want to do.
Yeah. Let's do golf balls. How many of us? A sleeve of five golf balls?
Three.
Right, hey, love the show as usual. All right, Dan. You guys take care.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan from Delaware.
Dan stuck around for a long time during that nonsense.
He was on for like an hour.
I'm done.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, back to that ball girl, I found out, or according to at least one of our emailers,
Strippers.
Amy from London, that it's a Gatorade ad.
So it is fake.
Yeah.
You were watching a commercial, you goof.
It had nothing on it. Dan, you saw the video, right? Was there any indication that that was a commercial? No.
All right, why don't you take a break?
Dan wants to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead.
Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. Knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision to give me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, I'll be very honest with you.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
The choice now is, I get my ass kicked, or option B, I kick your ass and collect the $200. I'm going with option B, kicking your ass and collecting $200.
And you never know who else might stop by.
You sticking like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a zebra. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, back here, Chris from the Bronx says, let me get this straight. Teams, coaches, and players who win tend to get criticized less than those who lose. It's taking you 25 minutes to figure that out? Get Cali Girl back on the phone.
Marty Schottenheimer didn't lose. Did you ever look at his record?
5 wins, 13 losses in the playoffs.
Did you ever look at his overall record?
How did he get to the playoffs?
5 wins, 13 losses, 278 record in the playoffs. That's why he gets criticized. Everybody says he's a good regular season coach, but everybody says he can't win in the playoffs.
You succeeded, Fred.
5-13.
Man, Belichick won as soon as he got Tom Brady.
Fred. I congratulate you. You won the argument because you definitely succeeded in snowing the whole public as well. But
again,
more missing the whole
one
issue.
One person emails and you think it's the whole public. How do you know?
Well, first of all, that's a phone call and an email, and I'm assuming there's more coming, okay? Because you set it up with you know, throwing me straight directly
with,
under
with
a, two
precincts
the bus.
Reporting, Andy Hart is giving this.
Right.
That, they're all going to say the same thing.
This is one of those political polls that you can call now. You set it up. You set me up, like LT would say, with the whole, Paul Davis, not knowledgeable.
What was Belichick's record regular season and playoffs before Mo Lewis destroyed
In New England, Bledsoe. He was 5-13. Coming to New England, he was 37-45.
Makes a strong argument for Tom Brady being the guy who won those three Super Bowls, in my opinion.
Okay, well, you want to live with that one? You want that one next to your name?
Sure.
Okay, see how long you last in this business. Because you'll be trained out for being...
Aligning yourself with Tom Brady's now a bad thing?
So wait a minute.
By saying that Bill Belichick had nothing to do with it? It's all Tom Brady?
That's not what he said.
No, I'm saying...
This is exactly what you do. He didn't say that.
I'm saying there's proof to say that Brady was the main reason, because look at Belichick's record beforehand.
Right. In 7 years as a coach, he won nothing.
Okay.
In 7 years with Brady, he's won three Super Bowls.
In 2001, you said that they were a terrible team.
I do, and I think that Tom Brady had something to do with that, don't you? He's saying Tom Brady had nothing to do with it, Tom.
I think he managed the games well, but I think it was Belichick.
I think we know.
Okay, well, all I know is without Brady.
Side on Belichick and Brady.
All I know is
we just got our test right there.
Look, I think that Belichick is a great coach. We've said this a million times. But without Brady, he won nothing.
Okay.
But you think it's ridiculous.
Without Joe Montana, won nothing.
Okay.
You know, so every
but the only, but he never coached.
The only difference is he never lost without him. That's the difference. Bill lost for 7 years without him. That's the big
Bill
difference.
Walsh went to Stanford and went to a New Year's Day bowl game after he coached San
Francisco.
Bill
Belichick never had the honor of coaching in college.
But he did have 7 years of coaching without Tom Brady and didn't win without
him. His first time around wasn't that good.
Okay.
You guys are making this much bigger argument. I just wanted to criticize him for the recent losses with Brady. That's all I was asking for.
Paul and I just fed up with Fred.
No, I want people to look at the fact that he made two bad decisions.
And I think people have.
But Andy's saying not to the extent that they would another coach. Because
the decision made in your final game that may have cost you that game is a far bigger one than not kicking in week two.
But as such, I think it should be criticized. I think when people look at that game.
Which game?
The Giants loss in the Super Bowl. I mean, yeah, that probably was a bad decision.
Let's
face it. What was the reason they lost that game? Because they couldn't protect Brady. They couldn't get the offense rolling like they had the rest. That was the reason.
And the reason the Chargers lost is because
the media knows that.
The receivers can't catch.
Knows that.
So,
doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
So that couldn't change the game if they kick a field goal there
and they score those points?
Just out of curiosity.
But with the difference of talent between the two teams, not kicking a field goal at the end of the first half shouldn't have been the difference maker.
Okay, so
but should have
for
and
argument's
was
sake,
are two different question.
What was the reason they lost that game, Andy?
If you want me to pick one thing, okay, I'll pick the fact
that
the offensive line couldn't have blocked you.
What's the number one thing that you say when a team with less talent beats a team with more talent generally?
They had a great day.
What's the number one thing that they usually say that a team with less talent beats a team with better talent?
They outcoached them.
Isn't that usually the number one thing you say? Well, they got a great coaching job?
Not necessarily.
No, of course not, because that wouldn't suit your argument.
Not necessarily.
Because that would back me into a corner.
Paul, in the Chargers game against the Patriots, why did they lose? Because I thought it
because
was...
Because Bill Belichick outcoached the crap out of Marty Schottenheimer.
I saw Marlon McCree intercept a pass, and...
And his players weren't prepared.
Right, so why...
I'll give you all the buzzwords,
Why is Schottenheimer being criticized? Because Marlon McCree got stripped of a fumble, then.
Because his players weren't prepared on the field. They didn't know what to do, and they choked.
August 3rd.
And that's what Schottenheimer teams do. They get tight in big games.
If it was that one game... People wouldn't criticize Schottenheimer.
But that's all I'm asking for is one game.
Year after year after
all I'm asking
year
for is an analysis of one game.
It's the same thing in reverse. Because Belichick made a bad mistake in one game, he doesn't get that kind of criticism because it
hasn't
happened
get any
year after year. Yes, he
does. Fred,
my
point is, are journalists that lazy where they have to go with the big picture that Belichick's a great coach and can't just watch that game and criticize that game?
Again, I'll repeat. I think people did question it.
It may have been a decision that maybe in another paper could have been questioned, but right here we just say that it was late in the first half and on the 40. They didn't question it.
The only thing
they
missing
just
in that was somehow said.
Well, okay. What were the facts?
I know everyone. I can't even say it because everyone hates Ron Borges. But Ron Borges, if he thought it was a bad decision, would have said it was a terrible decision. And that's what I'm looking for. If you don't say, much has been made over that field goal, and you know what? I'd be okay with the other call.
I don't even know.
Much
I read
has
that.
Been made about the field goal, but it didn't matter 1 ounce because they couldn't block our defensive line.
I think people, and that's a good call,
I
too.
Think people, and despite that, I think people question that decision by Belichick. After the game, weeks after the game, months after the game, to this day.
Okay.
And not just fans, people in the media.
I don't know.
Not hey, just boss, me. I wrote it immediately after the game, but it wasn't just me.
I've heard a lot of people say
it comes back to him.
I've heard a lot of people say the 4th and 13 play was there and Brady missed Gaffney. I mean, I think that's ridiculously over the top dumb.
Okay. So
I've heard that a lot with you know, in terms of the analysis of that game. You're okay. saying you hear a lot of people questioning that. I didn't hear a lot of people questioning that.
Because you refuse to believe that people can question him. Because your filter blocks that
Why
out.
Why do I refuse to believe it, Fred?
Because that's your. Because the same reason you don't eat seafood.
Oh, God. We knew it was going to get back
you're
to
stubborn.
Seafood food at some point.
You're very stubborn.
I have a quick question.
I'll be the first
I don't
to admit
think he's
I'm
deny
very
that,
stubborn.
But... Did Eric's departure become official on Tuesday when I wasn't here?
Well, we got a lot of emails, and I need to
get I was just going
I
based
you meant
on
today.
Well, yeah, first of all, he hasn't spoken. And second of all, the opening said...
And Eric.
Tom,
oh, man.
And somebody else might
stop
by.
You need to get to John Rook, because then at least you'll be able to talk.
Well...
If you're just standing there, why are you on this show?
I can barely talk, and I'm getting words in.
Right.
I enjoy it when you and Paul
I know.
Go.
Okay, so we'll let you watch the show. And then you go on Rook Show, okay?
We'll
clear off the leather chair. You can sit on... You can be here with the show, okay? You can be with the guys. But then you do Rook Show, and you'll have a chance to talk.
Clear off the leather chair.
Why are you getting all mad?
I'm not mad.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you. I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Wait a minute.
The girl under 18.
Wait a minute. I'm the one who crossed the line. And I'm the inappropriate one.
That might have been your best one ever, Fred.
I don't think I got that one.
You won't miss those moments, Eric.
Last Thursday?
I told him how I went to the beach.
There.
It was a Thursday, because it was
I didn't hear that.
Last Thursday.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one.
A lot of high school girls at the beach. Whew.
Mr. T from Portland, Oregon says, okay, Fred, here's an idea it seems like you just haven't thought of or don't want to accept. Don't move Eric to the John Rook Show. Move John Rook to the unemployment line. Not to rip in a new one, but seriously, Fred, have you ever actually listened to that show? I think if you canned him, you would be doing him a favor.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
He could apply for a job and work alongside Limbaugh, O'Reilly, or Hannity, which by his style is right where he belongs. This would take care of the Eric problem, too, because he would do nothing but beg Rook for a job until he plugged him in somewhere. Don't get me wrong, Eric. I think you're a great guy, but you have allowed yourself to be defined into the way the guys treat you on the show now. I think Fred would be foolish to move Eric off the show as a character. Everyone else in PFW is already defined except for Eric. I have a feeling there is way too much good stuff that Eric is hiding that can be developed on the show, like his personality, his love life, etc.
Nope.
That's my two cents.
Those two things don't exist.
That email was good up until that last line.
Excellent email.
Yeah.
Poor John Rook, though. He's
Eric, a lot of people, though, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of people are coming to your defense.
I thought that
Eric, they want you on the show so they can make fun of you. You know that, right?
But they want him on the show.
I know that. Fred.
But they clearly like you better than John
not
Rook.
We're going to give you your own show so they can make just
wait,
fun of you. Just
not to
I'm not asking
just
for that.
Make
I'm not
fun of you all the time.
Not
first
to
of all,
mention,
I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this.
Not to
Fred.
Mention, I haven't been able to talk about this because I wasn't here. Mr. Hart.
Shout out.
Barely holding off Eric for last place.
It was like 150 votes there.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric.
There's no surprise.
I was rooting for you. If I didn't vote for myself
Alaskans.
35 times,
see,
I'd
that
have voted
actually,
for you.
The fact that Andy didn't come in last actually told me that poll was of no value whatsoever. Because there's no way Andy would not
I
come in
I thought Andy was going to come in first.
Oh, God.
Oh, what are you? Come on.
I'm not sure if you remember
you
when
see
I said,
any emails?
I'd rather be right than see the Patriots win.
There has never been a positive email to this show about Andy or me.
I wrote in
never
about
once.
I wrote in about the survey when you weren't here on a Tuesday, and I said, Paul must have been right. I must be the only guy who thinks you're funny.
No, some guy went on the thingy, the little thing on the right side of PFW in progress.
Yeah.
There's two.
Yeah. D Hart.
No, that was
at Dartmouth.com.
No, it was
if you asked
Dicks
me,
in UK.
If you asked me honestly which one of us here would have a radio career, I would vote Andy.
I would too. That's two votes. Anybody got
first of all, I would say that there's absolutely no chance of that happening because you wouldn't make it through a week.
You'd be off right. No, but the week would be funny.
I'd clean it up.
But then you wouldn't be you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's why satellite's where it's at. That merger comes together. Is that going to open up anything for us?
I don't know. I hear that the stipulations that they put on the satellite companies are just ridiculous. You know,
so
we'll approve this if you do, and it's like a laundry list of stuff. It's ridiculous.
I thought it was like cleared the last hurdle and was going through.
That was recommended, I guess.
Yeah,
someone wrote in.
The FCC chairman said, I will recommend this.
Yeah.
Still has to go to a vote.
Someone wrote in and corrected Fred.
Right.
Bringing incorrect information to the
that's
table.
A shock.
like watching a commercial.
Al Fecto writes in.
He watches
Big Al. Wait a minute. Remember those Gatorade commercials where they like kicked the ball out of the stadium? Did you think those were real too?
No, because I saw it on TV.
Michael Vick.
Off the raptor, off the shot clock, off the mascot.
Yeah, help me out here.
He had great touch.
My first thought was this is fake.
Well, but the video said nothing about a commercial.
Right.
Maybe Gary leaving Fred out to
dry. Right. He didn't need someone to tell him it was fake. He knew it was fake.
I didn't even see it. Just had it described to me, and I thought it was fake.
I see
breasts that look amazing, but I know they're fake. You should know fake when you see fake.
How?
Because it's fake.
You never know. You got to do
Fred came to fight today.
You got to do the touch test.
Yeah.
No, my favorite part of that
I
whole
feel
argument
better because he's going at you guys now too.
But the best part of that whole argument was Paul said right, Fred said right.
Why does that surprise you? There was 3 seconds of silence.
They stunned each other.
Why does that surprise you? That happens every single time me and Fred fight.
It's true.
Every time we have an argument at one point, we both think they won.
In their defense, they had 13 arguments wrapped into one, so they were probably trying to remember where they were at.
The best part is when they both start asking questions that I get confused about what the answer should be. And
he doesn't answer me.
And then they just say right and move on.
Fecto Sports says, Al, he says, why am I picking this particular time to make a digital comeback? Well, it's not because the Celts have captured Title 17, which I saw the other morning live on Armed Forces Network. It's because I'm coming home from this sand-filled dump of a country.
Nice.
If there weren't oil here, I'm pretty sure no one would care about freedom in Iraq. The people in Iraq certainly don't seem to care.
I agree.
So he's coming back.
Good work, Al. Good job, I often
ask myself, why couldn't all the world's oil end up someplace nice like Australia or Sweden?
Good question. That's interesting that you got a guy who's in the Army telling you why they're there, that the people there could even care less.
Certainly haven't gotten me any oil, though.
Anyway, as usual, I'm looking forward to the season. From the looks of things, the Pats have no less than 5 night games on the slate. Hopefully, that will allow me to get a couple of nearby Jacksonville Jaguar afternoon home games and still not miss the Pats in prime time. So that's Al.
Yeah, you'll get your share of primetime games, Al. No doubt about that. And there'll be some 4 o'clockers too. That'll help you.
And with the flex scheduling, who knows? You could
have a couple.
More.
What do we have for prime time now? 5. And you'll end up with 6 because that's the maximum, and one of those will be changed. You know that.
No doubt, unless Brady breaks his leg.
Andrew, in the Ukraine, I was crushed like everyone in February, but I have a couple of thoughts and a question. First of all, I disagree with the assessment that the whole year was worthless because they lost the Super Bowl.
I would disagree with that, too. Who's making that assessment?
I don't know. I still enjoyed the best regular season of football history and saw a number of great comebacks. The Super Bowl loss didn't erase everything else from history. Even though I'm a Yankee fan, it seems that Sox fans still celebrate Fisk's home run even though they lost the series. Here's my question. Let's suppose a Tippett didn't make the Hall, and then in subsequent years he received fewer and fewer votes. What would you rather see? The perfect season and no Tippett election, or Tippett in the Hall and the Super Bowl loss? I may be alone, but I would pick Tippett, too.
I'm biased.
I was going to say, that's
not a personal relationship.
I would definitely take Tippett, but that's only because I know him.
If it was, I don't know. Ronnie LaPette or someone like that.
Some other guy that I didn't know personally, I'd say, give me the Super Bowl. If Andre Tippett didn't work here and I didn't know him, I would say, give me the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you?
But by the way,
Paul, I'd want the perfect season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You said who was saying that the season was a waste?
Besides Tom.
And Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
In the post-game locker room when he told the players, everything you did up until this point went for naught.
Exactly. You are right. You're true.
Of course.
He did say that.
We also said at times he might be a miserable human being, so.
I didn't say that.
Oh, Dallas from Clinton chimes in and she says, have you noticed that Eric won't tell you anything about his girlfriend but is quick to tell you that her dad loves him? Just throwing that out there.
That is true. You did say that on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Her dad still loves you?
The pieces of the puzzle are all coming together now. Way to connect the dots.
Does her dad still love you?
Andy, stop.
He asked you seriously to stop.
But on the show, is anything serious?
Yeah.
Why are you getting so angry? Did these guys berate you on Tuesday? You seem really touchy about this.
No. He says he won't talk about it anymore, and you won't stop.
Yes.
I just asked if her father still loves you. I'm a big
fat-headed.
I'm not
an idiot.
He
asked you to stop.
You don't have to be mean.
Do I have to be like the shop steward here and step in?
Matt from Quincy writes in, a small point.
I'm his union rep.
It's just a Paul. A small point, but at the Super Bowl, I was in the corner of the field where the 4th and 13th play was thrown to Jabbar Gaffney. And anyone who says that the play was there and Brady just missed him just doesn't know what he's talking about.
I totally agree.
Gaffney was double covered, and if the ball wasn't thrown out of bounds, it was more likely to get picked off than caught. The play never had a chance.
We saw that from our vantage point. We were on that sideline. We were
row 407, seat 407.
I agree with that. Was that Josh?
But a hell of a
Matt, I agree with Matt. That's how I saw the play as well.
It looked like it was a forced pass.
The play never had a chance. And I think a 4th and 13 under the intense rush that they had faced throughout the day never had a chance.
Let's see. Andrew writes in, Tom, thank God you're back. I actually have a truthful thing to tell you. The same day you got diagnosed with cancer, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Oh.
I went to the doctor after I called into the show. I had to get a nut removed. So I feel you, buddy. But on a happier note, last show I heard the gayest thing in the entire world when you guys were talking about Eric going to checkmate with Rook. You guys said, Eric, you'll see us. Then Eric said, guys, I don't want to just see you. If he's not gay, then I'm getting my left nut back.
Did you really lose your left nut?
Why would you say that if it's not true?
That's what happens when you have
cancer. No, I know, but he's
got a lot of ball
throwing it out there. Like,
well, he must be okay, I'm assuming, that he's all right.
Believe it or not,
he hasn't had his V8 today.
Believe it or not, that's the cancer of choice. If you have to have one, that's the one that everybody says is the easiest.
I'm not sure that's the argument you're going to win
with me. I got a lot of respect for anyone.
You walk in circles forever.
Who deals with that?
Oh, can you put something in there? Why do you need?
They put a glass nut in there for balance.
Do they? Yeah.
You walk in circles.
I don't know.
But you walk in circles, he says.
You're kind of listing to the left. Or the right, whichever, you know, the case may be.
What do you got, bowling balls down there?
Yeah, evidently. The way he talks to you, I think he does.
Yeah. Well, you should know, I've got a little wiener.
Well.
Let's see, Eric's...
steroids shrinks your balls but makes your penis bigger.
Yes,
it does?
Well, it doesn't necessarily... It shrinks your nuts.
Some people claim that it makes your penis a little bit bigger.
But that may be because your nuts shrunk. It's, you know, one of
those bigger.
Strippers tells you to shave it.
That's true. Cormac from Ireland.
Callie girl might be telling you to shave it.
I was listening to Eric again.
Or shaving it for you.
This is Cormac from Ireland.
What does he want?
He's drunk. I was listening to Eric again, refusing to divulge even the smallest amount of news in his personal life on Tuesday's show. Come on, man. You got to at least be able to say if you've got a girlfriend or not. And Eric, ask yourself this. Do you really want to date someone who's so controlling and hypersensitive that she won't even let you say whether or not you're both dating? She should be flattered that you want to talk about her and how great she is.
No.
Eric, you need someone less uptight than you. No. You need a flouncy, loose lady lover who likes her Diet Pepsi in the can and will get on really well, and I mean really well, with the rest of those PFW guys.
It is my decision not to talk about this because...
He's a stick in the mud.
I have to rein myself in because I tend to say more than I should.
But you won't even talk to us about it, like, off the air.
Because... when I say things off the air, they end up coming on the air.
But you can't tell us whether or not you're still dating somebody?
Why are we all open books, but you're not?
That's why you're going to Rook.
That's why you're getting shipped
to Rook. Choice.
No, but that's the show.
That's
the show.
We're all open books. We're all friends here.
We're all very open. We're all very open. Eric, if you don't...
Ignoring the fact of the specifics, did he infer that he wants your girlfriend to sleep with us?
I think to get to know
the fellas very well?
Yeah.
Just to prove Fred's point, when the day I came in here, the Tuesday, you know, to see everyone before I had the surgery, I was here for 3 seconds, and Fred goes, "Can we say it on the air?"
Well, I wouldn't say it if I didn't ask.
Like he couldn't wait.
Yes, you would,
Eric.
Oops, I said it.
If you don't heed my warning, then I say to Fred, "Hey, Fred, you really got to make Eric work for his place on the show. Threaten him and tell him if he doesn't give you some significant facts about his much better other half in Delaware, that it's bye bye to you, Sonny Boy, Eric, and off to play checkmate with the Rookmeister on his show."
That's what he's
so
been
now
saying.
You got him over a barrel. Quiet, Andy, Eric. Fred, Eric, give us the gossip or you get the boot.
Because I choose not to.
I don't even want the gossip. I just want to know if he's dating someone.
I think everyone wants to know. I don't think it's just us.
And now we're just going to speculate like that guy did and assumed that she's, you know, sensitive and stuck up and controlling and Chris Ferreira's wife.
Has nothing to do with that. It's my own decision.
It's over. It's over, Eric.
He started making fun of you, you know, with the gay jokes, and everyone thinks you're gay now.
Right.
Now, Carmack's saying that she's uptight and oversensitive, and if you don't defend her and tell us what she's really like, people are going to think that's true. You got to nip this stuff in the bud.
Sure, yeah. All right, yeah.
This is why you're going to the John Rook show.
That's what I said.
He just goes, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
Hold on. We take turns being a pinata, but you're the only one who won't take your turn.
What are you talking about? I haven't taken Andy's nonsense for the past year.
But you don't really.
Andy's a one trick pony.
But you're not fighting him back.
It's the same joke over and over.
Wow, you
but
guys
you're not fighting.
Help.
You're
luckily,
not fighting
Tom
him
laughs.
Back. I found
over the years it's just as fun
it's
to
a funny
ignore
joke.
Andy than to, you know, get it. It's just
he
I
doesn't
like,
know how to handle
to
Andy.
Ignore him.
Yeah. Like when Andy makes fun of me and Paul, Paul or I, we laugh at it. Like we think it's funny.
And Fred goes, shut
and we
up,
give it back
head.
To him. Yeah. You gotta, you know.
Eric cries himself.
He found out that it bothers you. That's the worst thing you could let a person like Andy do. Because now it's like a shark when he sees blood.
Right.
Yeah, true. And the key part of that was a person like Andy. Because most people, when they realize that it really bothers, they stop.
Yeah, right.
Because when it's not taken in fun, when both guys aren't having fun, usually for most people, it's not fun.
Usually.
Andy is like
you
the
should
shark.
Have a chat with my mother-in-law. She used to take all my joking, you know, personally.
I'd love to hear that story.
I made her cry once, and now she goes, I know you love me, Andy.
Oh, Jesus.
And Andy goes, no, I don't.
What did you do to her?
I usually do. The typical, whatever it was.
You are just terrible.
He's just there's some people.
He's probably making fun of her divorce or miscarriage or something.
I like the guy. I don't know why. I always have, even when he was working in PR, I liked him. I don't know why. He's constantly made fun of me ever since I've known him.
Yeah,
even before he worked with us.
He's a terrible person.
He's a terrible, terrible person.
If you can accept
really
the
is.
Fact that I make
I've
fun
always
of
liked
you,
him. I don't know why.
What did you do to get her to win her back over?
She just realized that I do like her.
How? What did you do?
I don't know.
It's awfully noble of you.
Maybe she had a... Paul had a moment when he went to my bachelor party and I was making fun of my best man like I make fun of him. And he goes, holy crap, you do it to everyone.
I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
But I never, like... I wasn't really offended by it. I just thought, wow, he's constantly picking on me.
The best way to describe Andy is when he reads the emails, when he's hosting and people get mad at him like me. He doesn't know he's doing it. He's reading the email and making jokes to himself
mid-sentence. As he goes.
Because his mind doesn't even know that he's making those comments anymore. It just comes out.
It's reactionary. I can't help it.
Yeah. That's why people complain about you at the office. Fred.
Yes, Tourette's.
I don't have Tourette's.
Now, did you actually quit your 1 week teaching stint, or were you fired?
1 week?
Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't even credit for 6 days.
He didn't even come close to a week.
What did you just go in the first day and say, this is it for me?
Speaking of being an open book, I think there's more to that story than meets the eye. What really happened?
Nothing. I freaked out.
How? In 2 days?
He panicked.
It was like they threw me into Korea with no gun and said fight the Korean War.
He basically went in like the day before classes started. There was like the regular teachers meetings.
What grade?
And he started
ninth.
And he started hearing about all the different learning problems and discipline problems of the different various kids that were in the school.
Freaked out.
There were serious issues, you know, from ADD to dyslexia and all
pregnancy.
This one
accused a teacher of raping her or touching her inappropriately.
All the different serious issues.
And they're like, you know how to handle that. And I'm thinking, why would I know how to handle that?
And he completely had a meltdown.
Well, you know what? You know what scares me about that is that a school would throw a person into
me
a situation.
Me too.
Very
like that. That's why I got the hell out of
That's
there as
absolutely
fast as I
ridiculous.
Could.
Yes. I'm not
Allison
scared for
still
you.
Can't
I'm
believe
scared
it.
For
she
kids.
Still doesn't know how you got the job.
I'm scared for our kids.
I think if I legitimately ended up in a real school where they like gave me a mentor and like
trained
me
you.
Into it, I think I would have been fine.
No, you wouldn't
teacher.
Have. No,
I think
you
I
wouldn't
have.
Fine. Allison's a teacher. Most of my friends are teachers. You're not. You're not a teacher. You don't have the mentality for it.
You don't have the patience.
They threw me in with nothing.
You just don't have
it. You don't care.
Now you're blaming it. Now he's blaming it on them. They threw me with nothing.
No question.
Pretty soon they'll blame the kids.
You're not the teacher type. You're a taker. You're not a giver.
You'd be like Eric Cartman when he had his little teacher.
I thought you were going to say you'd be like Eric.
Oh, see now.
You're a taker, not a giver.
Oh.
He took the headphones off.
He's going home.
All right, well, that's
Wait, can I have a quick last call?
What do you want?
No, it involves all of you.
Last call?
My friend Jimmy, who you all have had dinner with, and Renee, they got engaged the other night at the
congratulations. During
the
Celtics
game.
We'll have to have a TGIF party.
Yes, that was where we were, Freddie. Nice call.
Yeah,
you remember that.
We will be down there again, right?
That's right.
Well, they don't have the Jets every year. We play the Jets every year, they're idiot.
They don't have the TVs, so.
That's true.
That was Houlihan's, right?
That was the
Houlihan's has no TVs.
Houlihan's had no TVs. They had the one in the corner that.
The Fridays was okay, wasn't it?
Yeah, Fridays was okay.
Whatever. We'll have dinner with them.
Hey,
I like
doctor.
Them. Good job, Jimmy. I never thought
he'd
get married.
Congratulations,
occasionally.
Jimmy.
Okay. Congratulations, Jimmy, Renee.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition. We didn't get to all the emails. I apologize, but you know, email them again on Tuesday because
Fred's too much of an elitist to read your emails.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind. Yeah.
Ready?
Woo. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brook.